The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. And nothing gets Patriots Nation more amped, pumped, and jacked, aside from maybe the week before the Super Bowl, than Jets Week. Yeah, there won't be a lot of that going on in Gillette Stadium on Sunday, but there will be a lot of, the you suck chants, maybe, I hope, because the Jets are coming, and Patriots need a win, that's for sure, to bounce back, much like they did, you know, against Buffalo. But they need to bounce back, get back up over 500, and there's no better team to do it against than the New York Jets, or as I call them, New Jersey Jets. It's because
you are correct.
Actually, you know, the Giants are more New Jersey than the Jets now. At least the Jets have their offices in New York. The Giants don't. They have their offices right next to the stadium. It's ridiculous. How do they get away calling themselves the New York Giants?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know, Freddie.
Yeah.
So same way, I'm pretty sure that the Patriots could have called themselves the Boston Patriots had they wanted to.
If they wanted to, but we
even
don't.
Even though they lived in Foxborough.
I know, but
I mean, they moved
at least
to Foxborough.
That's in the same state.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know? Anyway, Paul's here.
How are you, Freddie?
Just came from the locker room. Andy will be by in a little bit.
Yeah, not a lot going on in that locker room today.
No, it was...
not a lot going on.
Yeah. If you take the media out, you could have had archery
practice.
The
media is ridiculous. We've just grown overwhelming. There's too many of us.
Too many. Why is that?
I don't know. But I guess it's a good thing for business because that means there's a lot of interest in your team.
But, I mean, like, if you divide it out, like, for example, Comcast, there's a lot of people
well,
from
they have that,
Comcast.
Yeah, they have that Patriots Live Wednesday that they do.
Yeah.
They had an interview with Gronkowski today. He spoke a little bit. He said, by the way, that, you know, just dealing with Knicks and, little cuts and bruises, nothing serious. Everybody's dealing with Knicks at this point. But he didn't really get into much else. But, yeah, so they talked to Gronkowski. They have the press conferences live with Brady and Belichick. There's a lot of people here from Comcast. There's
right.
Producers, there's camera guys, there's
right.
On-air guys. There's a lot. There's probably close to 10 people
right.
When everybody's all
yeah, so my question
counted.
Is, you know, how has the number of different outlets increased? Like, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably a few more, but there are definitely more people from the individual outlets than,
right.
than need to be.
Yeah.
You know, Comcast has that one thing or whatever, but, I mean, there's four or five guys from the Globe, four or five guys from the Herald every day.
Yeah.
You don't need all that.
I was my new thing now with Gronkowski, when he's doing a lot of people in front of his locker, to stand in the back and try to make them laugh.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, because if he catches your eye like and you're, like, laughing, he'll smirk.
He's such a goof. I'm glad that we're in good hands on the road, Fred.
Yeah.
With you. Fist bumping and making guys laugh.
That's okay. What else do we got going on? I mean, any themes detected so
far? Well, yesterday, I mean, it was a little bit, we should probably explain a little. There was a little minor change in the schedule. Belichick gave everybody the day off on Monday, coming back from a long flight, you know, 5-6 hour flight back from Seattle. Obviously a tough loss. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. So he gave everybody a day off on Monday, and the players were here in the locker room available to the media on Tuesday. The theme on Tuesday was clearly turning the page from Seattle and just starting to focus on the Jets. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about the big plays the Patriots have been allowing defensively, which is so atypical of a Bill Belichick defense. Last year it was a problem. They allowed something like 79 plays of 30 yards or more, which led the league, or 20 yards or more, something like that. Whatever the total was, it led the league. And this year they are also leading the league with 33 at this stage. So they're on pace to have even allow even more than they did last year. So that was something that some of the defensive backs were asked about yesterday. But most of the talk is about the Jets and Tebow and the rivalry. And Matthew Slater talked about how it's almost like a college rivalry. You know, it's really good for football because it's two teams that put a lot into the games. They don't want to let the other give the other team an inch and blah, 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 blah. Today, there was just not a whole lot of activity to talk about. I mean,
yeah.
Nate Solder, very late in the period, had a group around him. And well, now we're getting knocks on the door in the middle of the radio.
Well, Kevin's not here, so yeah. Andy probably can't get in.
Oh, I don't know. Let me answer that. You can fill space.
Yeah, Paul's going to go answer the door. I don't know who it is trying to get in here. Yep, it's Andy going in the... Why didn't you go in the front door?
It's locked.
What do you mean it's locked? You don't have your key?
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
You're going to get put in jail around
you're
here walking
fired.
Around with an ID.
You're going to get
ID.
Fired.
They know who I am. I'm with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you have good thing you have your shirt on.
That's right.
your Patriots Football Weekly shirt.
So if fans just want to sneak into the stadium and walk around, just get one of these.
We actually should be getting new ones soon.
I heard. And based on how long it's taken, I'm guessing they're actually putting a logo on it.
Good.
So that was basically the long and short of it today. There was not a lot of activity. Gronk talked. Brandon Lloyd spoke at the very end very briefly because he didn't start speaking until like 11:58.
And by the time he got done saying next question, it was probably over.
And promptly at 12 o'clock, that was dispersed as we had to leave the locker room. And I'm not privy to what Tom Brady talked about. I was told it was nothing earth-shattering, but I did not hear him.
Now, I saw somebody tweet out, it's somebody from the Jets that covers them. I think it might have been Jetstream.
Okay.
Saying that the Patriots run, up-tempo run game will really test the conditioning of the Jets. My question is, do you think that's what the Patriots will be doing?
Yes.
Will they do what they did last home game?
Well, I don't know how the tempo will be. They suck it against the run. So, yes, I think the Patriots will run the ball.
Yeah.
Although I will say, Brandon Bolden's locker, untouched. Chair folded, leaning to the side.
Not a good sign.
I don't think he is going to be available for part of any committee approach this week. So I don't know how much that would play into it. Obviously, you have Ridley, you have Woodhead,
what
you have
Vereen.
Yeah. Vereen, I think, is available. I saw him today come through the locker room. But I get the impression from the lack of activity at Bolden's locker that he is dealing with something more than just, you know, day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, on the good news side for injuries, Steve Gregory was in the locker room yesterday and again today. Actually, Andy got to speak with him for a
few minutes. I think he's going to be back.
Yeah. So I think that's a good sign for his possible return this week.
And another
certainly need the depth at safety.
Side note, yeah, literally
well,
and figuratively,
they
need to get deeper on the field and stop people from going over the top of them.
Yeah, but they're probably going to lose Chung. I mean, I'm not sure that he'll be back.
Oh, really?
Well, he got hurt the last
time. I know
game,
he did, remember? But
and this is a re-injury. I mean, he had a shoulder injury earlier in the year, so I'm assuming this is a re-injury. He was wearing the strap for a while, so that's his health is always kind of, he's one of those guys, it's a concern.
And not to quote Bill, but, you know, we'll find out today how these guys are listed on the injury report when it comes out at 4 o'clock.
And that, which means nothing.
Right. I said we'll find out how they're listed.
Right.
I didn't say if they're going to play.
Michael Hohomanawanui.
Yes.
I've decided today looks like a bloated Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
Even Paul agreed with me.
Sanchez,
he walked in, and I was like, who's the guy who looks like? Because I don't really know him all that well yet. But he looks a lot like Mark Sanchez for this week. Maybe he can play him in the scout team.
Hey, you can't be any less accurate.
Well, if he's, well, yeah, if he's
49%.
That bad, then he should play Tebow.
Yeah.
I was
if they add up their completion percentages, it'll be good.
I was looking at a guy.
But still not good enough.
Not that the offense is lacking, really, but – At some point this season, soon, do you give Greg Salas a chance to see what he can do?
No.
Bring him up?
Not necessarily. I mean, as Edelman's returning to health, you have him. He was your starter early in the season.
Is he returning to health? I don't know.
Well, he's been practicing.
Hey, he started practicing.
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean he's returning to health?
On this team, it could mean anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm not quite as
I mean, I don't know.
Pessimistic as you. I think if a guy who was out starts practicing, that's a return to health. He's getting better.
And I'm a little curious, just why the need? What are we looking for? Are we lacking options?
Fred thinks so. He's maintained that all year, so he's consistent.
I mean, I could make an argument, as much as I absolutely love the guy, that I think we throw the ball a little bit too often to Deion Branch in some key situations.
That was the name I was going to bring up.
No, because I want to throw it to Lloyd and to Welker and to Gronkowski and to Hernandez.
Plus, don't forget you have Shanko potentially practicing and coming back as an option.
Okay.
And he's a pass catcher. He's in the same mold as Salas.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind if they were throwing the ball to Deion Branch if it was Julian Edelman and Greg Salas were also out in the field with him. Then Branch, to me, is your best option. That I don't have a problem with. But when you have Welker catching passes seemingly at will, and on a key third down late in the game, you go into Branch on a quick slant.
He was interfered with, though.
Yeah, and
he was
well short of the first down as well.
I had his, arm securely wrapped around his waist.
I didn't see, did you guys watch the play on the goal line?
No.
I didn't get to see that. I did see the run because the NFL Network replayed the game last night, and I caught bits and pieces of it. I did happen to see.
Between earthquakes.
The run. Yeah, we had a little bit of an earthquake last night, Fred. Did you feel anything?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Paul was jumping up and down.
He's so immature. He's just so immature.
Right.
Anyway.
Got my peanut butter jelly.
The play that that Wilson scrambled around and ended up breaking Mayo's tackle and got a first down on.
Right.
And one of our listeners said that there was a block in the back. I know the play. I know exactly what he's talking about. It was on Chandler Jones. And I don't think it was necessarily a block in the back. I think it was one of those scramble plays where guys were changing directions on a blink, kind of like on a punt sometimes. You can get away with hitting a guy in the back if he turns on
right.
you. And I think that's kind of what happened is I think Jones had to change. I don't think he was trying to draw a penalty. Jones was chasing Wilson and had a quick change of direction and turned right as the guy was reaching out and he kind of pushed him. And it really didn't impact the play. Jones wasn't going to make the play. Wilson was too far away from him at the time. But I know the play the emailer was talking about, and it was borderline. It was worth talking about. So okay. there might have been a flag on that.
Okay. There was another play that they were replaying. He had a big scramble that didn't they get called back?
Oh, he had a huge scramble that did get called back.
Because of the holding.
Yeah, but the guy had a hold because of Wilson.
Right.
Wilson was in the pocket with a great pocket to throw from, and he left for no reason. And kind of the same thing, that I think it was McQuiston who got called for it, was engaged with his block perfectly. He was in great shape. But all of a sudden, Wilson runs around, and it was kind of the same thing in the opposite way. The change of direction forced him to have to reach out and grab to make sure that Wilson didn't get killed, and right. Wilson would not have made that run without that holding call, without that holding penalty.
That which reminds me, we just added a new thing on Patriots.com, and I told them to promote it a little bit because I think it's excellent. after the game, we get all the photos from the photographers, and we quickly put them up. But starting this week, we had them go back and recrop them and do some color correction on what they thought their best photos were, regardless of what the situation was. May not have had anything to do with the result of the game, but simply go in and get the best and get the best photos they had and give them back to us. And so now there's two galleries, one for Dave Silverman and one for Keith Nordstrom. what they felt their best of the week was.
Yeah, and I tried to use that the other day. It wouldn't work on my iPad.
On your iPad?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Any shots of the cheerleaders among those?
No, but we could add those.
I'm told they were stunning.
They were nice and...
The seagulls?
They were soaking wet.
They showed a lot of shots of them on the telecast. It was good.
So, yeah, they were soaking wet.
Got some mountains out in the Pacific Northwest, too, from what I saw.
But anyway, check it out.
Wearing white
Twin Peaks.
And raining.
And a little chilly, a little nippy out there.
Check it out in the photo section, Silverman's Best and Nordstrom's Best. Really, really excellent photos. We're going to do that every week from now on. So, like, Tuesday, we'll have those photos up.
All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. So, what's going on? No socks is here.
He needs a topic.
He wants to talk about Tom Brady's fourth quarter passing.
Okay.
Late and close. Runners in scoring position.
You got a mic in front of you.
Everyone
pull up.
Sucks but me.
Yeah, no, he's...
How's the USC game? I heard you attended.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that for a second? Why don't you put that
good
mic
time?
On? That way I can get a piece of pizza.
Yeah?
It was all right. I mean,
his mic's not on. Push your button.
It was all right.
Good experience?
It wasn't like it was an on-campus event.
Right.
But they did all right. I just wanted to see how loud the crowd actually was before Sunday's game, which wasn't very loud because it was rentals. And I did think Sunday's crowd was a little overrated until it was 24-23. I know it's not a popular opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was really loud.
Right. I thought Baltimore was equally loud.
Okay. No, I agree with that.
But Baltimore didn't get any kind of the, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to play the game? Which Seattle did.
Well, it also didn't affect him in Baltimore. It affected him in Seattle. They didn't have to call timeouts in Baltimore because they didn't have the right guys on the field.
That's fair. And you're attributing that to the noise?
In part.
Okay.
I mean, that's part of what that crowd is credited with is to get guys out of their rhythm.
And I think at their peak, Baltimore, I agree, Matt, was absolutely as loud as Seattle. Seattle does a good job at sustaining it, too.
Very steady.
Yeah.
Where it got really loud was 24-23, the end of the game.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah. Well, that's, good for them. And you're on the field for our games?
Yeah.
How does it compare to Gillette Stadium?
just so you will never – nothing you can say right now will be the most negative thing on this show. So you don't have to worry about it.
I mean, the fact that we have to prompt the crowd on every defensive play to make the noise, which is what we do, I think is an indictment in and of itself of the crowd.
All right. Well, there you have it from someone who's down on the field. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Had a meeting with Bob's Furniture yesterday.
Nice.
And maybe we'll get some new furniture for in here. Maybe a couch for the,
I don't know,
the guest. And
we could
you
use
guys
a couch.
Need to come up with a topic for
some
your
new stools,
little fight
maybe?
Later.
A couch for me to sleep on.
Fred could do the show from a couch, like laying down. We could, give him a headset.
That'd be good. Maybe we could have a fan of the week after a loss and we could, have them lay down. We give them therapy.
Somebody needs to give you therapy.
The doctor is in.
You failed miserably in that, so.
Did I?
I think for about a month now. This whole season, you've been pretty poor in therapist duties.
But you know what? I think that if you are really panicking at this point and need therapy, you're a pussy. Because
I'm not sure you can say
that.
Yeah,
he said that.
No, I'm serious. I mean,
you don't say that on Patriots Today?
I really do. You must be so, weak in the knees if you're already so worried about the Patriots season. I think the Patriots are going to be fine. I really do.
What if you are of the belief the game has passed Bill Belichick by?
Huh. Well, I think you're an idiot. In addition to being a pussy.
You've already said it, so you don't need to couch it anymore.
I think that's ridiculous.
Well, some people believe that.
I know. Some people have been saying that for years, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think if Bill Belichick found himself not coaching the Patriots at any point, 31 other teams would be after him in a heartbeat.
Right.
And
would they make him the GM?
And the most the fan bases that hate him the most would turn around on a dime 180 degrees and want him.
The Jets?
The day he was available. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, would they let him pick the groceries?
Sure.
Because that's the common theme from Patriots
fans. They would
fans.
Give him a blank check in the keys to the castle.
You're probably right.
Absolutely.
Because they do that to much lesser people than Bill Belichick.
Absolutely. You know? So it's just nonsense, all that talk. Absolutely.
You know,
nonsense.
Every time they lose a game, there's a lot of nonsense. The fact that the game has passed him by is among the most egregious examples of nonsense that we've had over whatever many years.
If there's anything, he's advancing the game.
Post-game losses or whatever.
He's doing things that other teams are copying still.
Isn't it?
Like what?
Oh, I don't see that at all. I think he's a great coach, but what innovations is he doing?
He's not Paul Brown.
Yes.
Let's pump the brakes.
The versatility in players, you know, how he approaches, you know, the change in the fact that this is truly a passing league now, and most teams are, you know, going with sub more than base, you know, recognizing that and picking.
But what does that have to do with Bill Belichick? I don't get that. These are widespread generalizations you're saying about the entire league, and you're crediting Bill Belichick
and picking players to combat that and picking schemes to combat that. I think that he's looked at as a trendsetter. Absolutely.
Isn't it an insult to even undertake the question? I mean, is there anybody
if the game has passed him by? You mean?
Yeah. Is there anybody with a lick of credibility that has said that? I mean, it's preposterous.
No. The legitimate questions are, why can't he draft a defensive back? Or even find one through veteran free agency?
I'll agree with that.
That is a legitimate question.
Because it's been an issue, and they have not been able to address it. And it's hard to strike out that much. Really. I mean, you really have to try. No. I mean, look at... We went over the list yesterday of all the people that they've either brought in through free agency or drafted fairly high to address it. And
so
they just can't seem to get the right combination.
Does that lend you to the next step that people want to take, that it's either scheme and or coaching, technique, that guys regress when they get here?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the next step of that, because as you're right, when you bring in
but none of these
six
guys that
first
have left
or second
have done
round,
anything either.
That is true. That is certainly a point counterpoint in your favor.
James Sanders, hold on.
Excuse me. I did see him going 90 down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah,
I haven't seen too many Patriots do that lately.
But you know, so that's an issue. You have to be objective and admit that when it comes to the defensive secondary, we're still where we have been. You know,
I don't love it.
We're still looking for.
I'm answering questions on air that are being held in front of me.
And I don't think we need Darrell Revis. I mean, although every team could use a guy like that, obviously, I still think we're looking for just basic consistency and reliability.
Well, one of the things that I heard, one of the criticisms I heard that I do agree with, and I heard Felger and Maz talk about this yesterday, and I don't often credit them, so I will now. And I wonder, some of the problems, we always hear when they draft guys, you know, we heard it famously with McCourty. First round pick, cornerback. We liked him. Why? Because he could play on all four downs.
Yeah, I
now,
think
now
that's...
Now, listen, no, I'm not talking about special teams.
I heard Felger talking about
that.
I
want a guy
stupid.
Who can cover. I don't want all the stuff
I think
that
they drafted
about.
McCourty in the first round because they thought he could cover. I don't think they drafted him because he could play on
But you don't think
teams.
That there were guys that they could cover better but
no.
couldn't do anything else?
No, I don't.
I do.
I think they drafted a cornerback in the first round.
I don't think they're interested in the guy who just covers.
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I think they
disagree,
drafted him because
I think that the guys that they take... Are very well-rounded players.
I think if somebody else had taken McCourty and they had taken Kyle Wilson, they would have said, and Kyle Wilson can play all four downs, he can contribute in the kicking, I think they would have said the same thing. I think they drafted a first-round cornerback. I think that the special teams factor of Devin McCourty,
I'm not talking about
I believe,
the
is the
factor.
Most
I'm
overblown.
Talking about he can play zone, he can play man, he can tackle, he can play against
right.
the run, and he can play in the kicking game, all of this stuff. I don't care about any of it other than can he cover. And I don't think that
but if you're saying he can play man and zone, I think they're saying he can cover in man and he can cover in zone. So
I would rather have a guy who excels in one thing at that position because what we're doing hasn't worked. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they drafted him because they thought he was the best cornerback available. That's why I don't think it had anything to do with versatility and kicking game and all
that
crap.
Too. I think that too. I think they misevaluate.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
fine.
And I think
they
misevaluate because they want a guy who does everything well.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I don't think they took Terrence Wheatley because he was more versatile than Terrell Thomas.
Well, he was a natural-born cornerback,
don't forget. That's Fred's spin,
not
theirs.
No, don't forget.
So I think they just blew that. They should have taken Terrell Thomas. He was better. But I don't think they did it because of versatility. I really don't.
Well, I mean, you might be right. I think that there's some truth to
that. I think the criticism that it's annoying for him to come out and say that is fair. For him to come out and say, you know, he contributes in all three, four. Well, you know, you didn't draft him because he can play on fourth down. You drafted Matthew Slater and Nate Ebner because they can play on fourth down. You drafted Devin McCourty because he can play on one through three. That's why you drafted him in the first round.
Right.
If he could play on fourth down, you would have drafted him in the fourth or fifth round. Right. That's where you would have gotten him. So you can say you blew the pick, or your scheme wasn't fit for him, whatever you want. But they drafted him to be a number one corner in the NFL.
All right.
Yeah, like I said, you might be right. I have my doubts. I'm not sure I agree with you.
Well, then they need to lose their job. If they drafted him because of special teams in the first round,
no,
he should be fired.
Because of everything, is what I'm saying. They don't want a guy. Yeah. There might have been a guy they thought might have been purely a better cover guy, but wasn't as good at the other stuff. So they want the guy. They want a bunch of goods instead of a great.
Well, that, I think, is an issue they have in general.
And that's
they like versatility, but I don't think they took Devin McCourty because of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear the argument.
I think they would spin whoever they took that way. Kyle Wilson would have been spun as he's physical, he can tackle, yeah. You know, he can play in the kicking game.
He's another guy who played on all four downs. I mean, right. He did do that.
And a lot of guys do. That's my point. You're drafting him there because you think he can play corner. You're putting him in a role.
I think when you draft him in the first round, you are hoping he's going to be great.
Right. No, you're expecting he's going to be good, and the higher you pick him, the greater the expectation.
Right.
But, yeah, you certainly are drafting a corner, a number one corner, when you take him in the first round.
All right, pizza's here. Give us a second to eat some of it. And when we come back, we've got Dean on the phone who's listening at work in Waltham. We'll get to his call and more of your emails right after this.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
All aboard!
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No, no, no.
Take offense at it.
Did you listen?
I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Matty Nosok stopped in, gave us the lowdown of his opinion of the noise in Seattle. He didn't think it was that great.
Overrated.
You know, before we get to the call, another topic I want to just throw on the table. I heard this yesterday. You know, criticizing Tom Brady, and he deserved criticism, no doubt about it. He screwed up in that game. But
not Tommy.
But, you know, I heard someone say, you know, he just doesn't have it anymore. He can't do it in the under pressure, blah, blah, blah. So are we saying that, you know, in a game where Russell Wilson did in fact perform under pressure, that he's now better than Tom Brady? You know, guys like him, you know, it's just ridiculous.
There's two things that I want to say to that. A, he was held to his own early career greatness in that area, his resume. But the second thing is, I continue to say, when Aaron Hernandez catches the pass crossing the field that hits him in the hands, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And in the old days, I felt like they had more clutch guys who would do that. Now I think Welker is the guy that seems to always make that play. You know, we joked it was they needed 17 and he got 15. But, you know, Hernandez, just like in the Super Bowl, it hits him dead in the hands. And he doesn't catch it.
Yeah.
I mean, is that Brady's fault? Is that a misread by the quarterback? Should he know better than to throw to Aaron Hernandez with the game on the line because he's not going to catch it? I mean, is that what we're saying?
Right.
Because to me, that's not an F-up. Brady had his F-ups in the game. That end of the first half, whole series was a debacle.
Right.
But at the end of the game, I thought he hit an all-pro a Pro Bowl caliber tight end in the hands, and the guy dropped it.
Yeah.
The whole he can't do it in the clutch anymore, he doesn't have it anymore, is the version of the game has passed
right.
Belichick by.
Right.
I mean, it's that silly.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying that Tom has been perfect in all these situations.
The difference is I think more people with more credibility and more legitimacy are criticizing Brady
yes.
than saying the game has passed Belichick
that's
by.
That's the way you get your headline through the noise on the internet. You know, you say something like that and all of a sudden it gets
But I do think there's
clicks.
There's also, I think, more truth to the fact that Brady has sort of struggled, then the game has passed Belichick by. I mean,
yeah,
Belichick remains.
I think if I want to spin either argument, I could, and I think they're both ridiculous.
I think Brady, maybe minus a little bit of mobility, is as good a quarterback as he's ever been right now.
Yeah, but not when it counts. And that's what the people that Andy just mentioned are saying.
Is that because of Brady or what's around him or what?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's what the people that Andy's talking about are arguing. You know, I think that it's a very deceiving stat. I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday about the whole late game situation. The fourth quarter quarterback rating
Right.
Since 09 is 15. Fifth from last in games that the Patriots are leading by a score. So in other words, he's not closing the games out. Right. Well, how many times are the Patriots only leading by a score in the last 5 years in the fourth quarter? Not very often. So it's a small sample, which if you struggle a couple of times with a small sample, your numbers are terrible.
Right.
Or, if you hit Aaron Hernandez and he misses it, that's an incompletion.
Well, that's
a bad number.
That's another one. That's another one altogether
that
Andy brings up with Hernandez has been guilty of this several times, including the Super Bowl.
And as you said, it seems like the pressure is worse at the end. So the tackles who were okay during the game aren't quite as good at the end, and that would show up in Brady's number because if he's adversely affected by the so to throw it all on one quarterback and say he stinks, watch the games.
And this all
watch the game.
This all adds up to there goes Andy, Paul, and Fred just sitting there blindly, you know, defending.
Yeah, because we
Brady
do that
again.
All the time. The guy who ripped him for two straight years for going to Costa Rica all offseason and not caring about the damn team.
But that's
you know, I'm in his pocket.
What Andy just said,
you mad,
there,
bro?
At the end, I think is very legit. You know, if you watch the game, you tell me what changed. Now on Sunday, Brady changed. In the fourth quarter, he wasn't the same guy. I don't know why. I don't know if he got banged up on that roughing the passer or whatever. He was missing guys by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about over the balance of the last 4 years. You tell me what changes,
right?
You know, like the Super Bowl in Arizona. They go 80 yards, boom, 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 touchdown to Randy Moss when they're trailing 10-7 with 5 minutes left. But the other team goes down the field and scores, and now we can't move the ball again with 30 seconds left because the pressure got to be too much for Tom Brady.
Well, that one I would put on the coordinator.
He just scored.
We decided we're just going to chuck it deep. Why did we get out of our offense?
The pressure got to everybody,
right,
not to Brady.
Right. But again, he gets credit for those incompletions
that
adversely affect his numbers, not Josh McDaniels, who I would say, what the hell are you doing?
And on Sunday,
you had a chance there to put together a moving drive, move down the field, and not just drop back and hope. That's all they did is they dropped back and hoped there.
Yeah. They did. They just chucked it. All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Dean has been listening patiently in Waltham. Hey, Dean.
Hey. Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Dean.
So found out about you guys last year, and I just want to say thanks. You guys have been fantastic, especially given what else is out there. It's a diehard Patriots fan. It's just been fantastic listening to you guys, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for saying so.
So quickly, before my main question, I just want to revisit the whole punishing Welker last week, the whole stick it to Belichick comment. Do you think Welker woke up Monday morning and was like, Jesus, why didn't they bench me yesterday?
Probably when he was gesturing at Hurts here.
Oh,
pretty much every
I saw that play last night.
What Andy
play
said
that
yesterday about just it's almost hard to watch. You feel like he's fantastic, but he's going to die.
Especially in this day and age when we know the long-term ramifications. You know, 20 years ago, we would have just washed it. It's great. He's a hard nose. But now you have a little perspective.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. So my main question's on the, of course, as everyone, the secondary, and it's something that no one's really mentioned yet, or I haven't heard. Why don't they turn their head?
I haven't heard that yet.
Well done.
But seriously,
that was good.
You guys touched upon it in the first segment, but what's driving me crazy, and I'm not a draft Nick, it's just part of the game that I don't watch the college game, and I'm just not that educated on it, but when you look at all the players and the high capitals they've spent on them, I remember recently McCourty, Dowling, even this year, Wilson, it seemed like some people scratched their heads and said, well, who or why so early? Was that also true earlier with the Chungs and the Merriweathers and the Butlers and the Wheatleys and the Wilhites? Was that also sort of out of left field for where they got picked?
Not all of them.
No. I mean, Butler was a borderline first-round, second-round pick.
Merriweather was a first-round pick.
Merriweather, first-round pick. Wheatley was a little out of nowhere.
That was a head-scratcher.
The Cowboys liked him, too, and we had to get him before the Cowboys. You know, another team that's had its issues in the secondary over the years.
Wilhite wasn't until the fourth round.
It was just a mid-round pick.
And I remember people saying Wilhite should have been before Wheatley.
Now, Chung, some people thought he was overdrafted. That was in that era of Oregon had, five defensive, their nickel and dime packages were all drafted in, the first two rounds in a two- or three-year span.
Bird from
Buffalo. Bird, TJ something. They had all NFL-caliber DBs, and a lot of people didn't think Chung was necessarily at the upper echelon of those guys. So I wouldn't say there's one characteristic that describes all of them. Some of them people thought were really good picks or good value. You know, Butler, oh, you didn't get him in the first round, you got him in the second. That's good value.
Yeah, and when the argument that Andy and I had a little earlier, that's the problem when we try to do these things is it's never an absolute. You know, like we started talking about McCourty specifically, and yeah, Andy's right. I mean, you can say, well, they took him in the first round. That's where he was supposed to go. He was a late first, early second round projection, and they thought he was going to be a number one cornerback. That's what they evaluated him as. But maybe you might be able to make an argument with a guy like Dowling. I don't think a lot of people thought he was worthy of the first pick of the second round.
No.
Certainly not Tavon Wilson this year, who didn't even go to the combine.
It's just as you guys, everyone's articulated. It's just so maddening. It's just blind luck. You'd think one or two of these guys, and that's why, you know, me mulling it over, trying to think what is the common factor here of.
But that's
miss after miss after
I'm,
miss.
I'm
after
guessing
miss.
It's equally as maddening for Bill Belichick, and I'm guessing he has studied it and said, "Well, I took a chance on this guy. I went for Dowling, and I thought I was getting top 10 talent with some concerns X, Y, and Z." But I went with a safe one on McCourty, and he sucks now. And I went with the athlete Butler, and he blows now. And I'm sure he's doing the same thing we are.
I think it's maybe just karma for the Brady pick. You get that.
Could be.
Yep. Law of averages.
Guys, thanks. One last point. The other thing is I really do enjoy the TV show.
Good.
The one on Comcast,
but
the camera angle. It's distracting.
It's funny, Dean, because we taped that yesterday in
it's the hand, it's the knuckle, it's the neck, yes. It's the ear, it's
and
the face.
We heard one of the guys, the technical guy, say to another camera guy, you know, just on the shoulder, you know, move it around. We're like, right, that's the one thing that everyone complains about is the fact that these cameras move around.
Well, listen, guys, take care. Thanks again so much, and keep up the good work.
All right, Dean.
Thanks for calling, Dean.
And we've never heard one person say, that's great.
Right.
Like, usually some of these things you get balance out, you know, some people like Paul, some people like Andy, I've never heard one person say, you know what really adds to that TV show?
Andy.
All that movement on the camera.
Right.
No, I have. Liz Nee said that, actually. But I've never heard anyone say the camera work doesn't.
I think it's just an excuse for not having to set up a tripod. I really do.
But I think it's intentional. I think they think they're being like artsy and edgy and different, and it just doesn't work.
It's like the old, it's the MTV thing. It's like, you know, you're going to put the angle, you know, put the camera to an angle, I'll have them coming up from the feet. And to me, it's just kind of distracting to
the
eye.
That's what I need, a hero shot. I want them to start at my feet and just go all the way up and make me look like I'm like 20 feet tall.
Interesting thing that the Ravens, by the way.
Then they have to like pan really wide when they get
through your shoulders.
The Ravens put Ray Lewis on IR, but with a designation to return.
Really?
So evidently they're thinking that maybe, you know, 6 weeks. Who knows?
I don't think so.
Bet he's going to go to Europe.
Canada. Isn't it Canada they do that?
I think Germany's one, too.
The old German judge?
Mm-hmm. Miracle. Hallelujah.
And then the first time, I felt the steroid in my triceps.
Speaking of that, you see your guy got dropped by Nike?
Yeah, I guess.
Frauds they are.
That's it.
Don't tell me you didn't know about it all along when you were cashing in on it
with your
Live Strong everything, and now he's got outed and you're going to cut ties with him? That's an embarrassment for Phil Knight and the entire Nike Corporation.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
What's up, Ty?
Hey. Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Is this thing on?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We can hear
you. Yes. Can you hear us?
Oh, Andy, stop playing around. Anyway, let me get my points in real quick. I got 2 points, right? With the Wes Welker thing, man. You know, at the beginning of the season, I was saying, you know, I was cool with what they was doing with Wes Welker, whatever, with a contract, because, you know, I thought he was a little, you know what I'm saying, a little expendable. But after seeing that bone-crushing hit he took in Seattle, man, I'm like, yo, man, this dude, he need to get his money. Because if I'm him, I'm telling you right now, if that was me and I got laid out like that, I'll hold the team hostage and say, yo, and, you know, especially how I'm playing and the team's struggling, you know, I'm getting my yards in, I'll say, yo, man, if you don't pay me, hey, I got a concussion this week. You know what I mean? And if he does that, he's such a nice guy. If he do that, I can't blame him, because he's taking days off his life, man. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give him credit, man. And if I'm Robert Kraft, I see that dude got laid out like that, man, I go down right now and say, look, man, hey, Wes, I mean, there's an extra couple million, man. For real.
He just rolls it off the roll.
Right.
Takes the elastic band off.
All jokes aside, for real, I mean, what he's doing it for, being blown away, I mean, ain't like we gonna go nowhere. Yeah. Especially with that defense. If I'm him, I'm sticking it out for the rest of the season. But off to another subject, you guys were talked yesterday that the dude Sherman made a comment about gimmicky offense.
Yep.
He's not the only one that said that. Remember my man, what's his name, Pollard, before the Super Bowl?
Pollard,
in the Baltimore, he said something similar along them lines. I mean, you know, and another, you know, is it, you know, is it really true? I mean, because we always get over, well, I'm not, when we running up and down on the Titans.
I don't think it's gimmicky. I mean, we don't see the Patriots running wildcat. We don't see them.
No, I'm talking about, look what they did on the defenses they fixed. Bills, which they, to be honest with you, they was playing dime, so that's why they got mauled. The Denver, which their defense, so in the Titans.
Wait, but there's a difference between saying the running game is a gimmick, that they need to be sneaky with the running game, and saying the entire offense is a gimmick.
Yeah, I don't think the entire offense is a gimmick. I agree with Andy. I think that there's an element of gimmicky to the running game. They try to run the play before you're lined up. That's what their goal is on a lot of plays.
And I'm fine with that.
That to me is gimmicky, but there's nothing gimmicky about Tom Brady in the passing game.
There's nothing gimmicky
about beating up on bad defenses.
That's
what a lot of offenses do.
Or looking at what they're doing and checking out of a run and going to a pass.
Making an audible is not a gimmick.
Right. I mean,
no, you guys misreading what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's kind of easy. The offense is kind of easy to defend. And this has been going back since, what, 2010?
Yeah, well, why is it easy to defend when no one can defend it? There's like two teams that have had success.
And the good defenses are defending it.
So there's only one good defense in the league every year? Because that seems to be the only thing that happens. There's one or two teams can slow them down. That's about it.
Dude, the reason why them offensive numbers are deflated. Okay, ask yourself this. If we was playing in the AFC North, would our offensive numbers be like that? No. If we were playing in the NFC East.
Oh, I think so. I think if our opponents was the AFC, if our opponents on a yearly basis, twice a year, was the AFC North, Bill Belichick would, you know them as well as he knows the Bills and as well as he knows. And I think, you know, sometimes they'd have success, but I think for the most part, this offense would have its way with them.
Well, when the last time the NFC far superior to me, than an AFC.
Look, even though they lost to the Ravens this year, they still scored 30 points, you know?
Yeah, I know that, but they didn't have no pass rush. But check this out. And another reason why we're struggling, I won't want no other quarterback. Tom Brady's fine. You know, of course he's going to mess up once in a while. You know, that's all a part of it. But it's two other things that I'm going to hang up. But I want you guys to ponder this. And this, I think this is a good point. It's the reason why we struggle in the beginning of the game, we cool, especially protecting Brady, because, you know what I'm saying, we're getting in. But I believe the offensive line, because we need so much praise, because if you look at it, Tom Brady, and I look at the numbers between Tom Brady and Joe Flacco, right? Tom Brady got it beat for like 200 more yards, but Tom Brady's throwing the ball like almost triple what Joe Flacco is throwing the ball. And I believe because it's so much, we take so long to get down the field that I believe at the beginning, at the end of the game, I think the offensive line get wear down.
Could be something to that.
Yeah. We started talking about that a little bit in the Denver game.
Yeah.
When you're running 85 to 90 plays consecutive games.
Yeah.
You're getting 35 first downs, and it looks like you're doing all these things well, but you're wondering, why are we only getting 4 or 5 yards a play?
You know, that's a good point, Tyrone. You know, and it could be a factor that, you know, they're getting a little worn down. You hope that you're doing the same to the defensive line. But
you also have a couple guys that are injured. You know, you have Vollmer with the knee injury, the end of that game, and that's obviously he was a game-time decision this week. Obviously, Logan Mankins dealing with a trifecta of injuries now. I joked that he has more knee braces in his locker than knees at this point.
Yeah, they're starting to become a concern. You know, just the overall health of everybody. You know, there's a lot of key guys.
This is a good point.
Yeah, it was like me and Andy saying, "No, you listen to me now."
And he hits one of the buttons, and you hear the beep.
Well, he must have like fat cheek.
Beep, beep. Yeah.
All right.
Good passionate call, though.
Next up.
Yeah, very good call.
Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good,
Dan.
All right. Well, I've had a few days to think about this past game, and unfortunately, it's brought me to this conclusion. Now, the offense, it's going to be fine. I mean, health and decision-making will be good enough, and I'd say they could go at least 12-4, 11-5 would not be unreasonable.
I agree.
But on defense, I think since 2008 to now, enough time has gone by where I think it's fair that Belichick should receive a grade for how he has rebuilt this defense. And with regards to building and developing, in my opinion, he has failed. And I'm going to tell you why. It goes back to philosophy and development. Now, would you say it's fair to say that since the rule changes came down with regard to bumping receivers, defenses have had to find a different way to slow down offenses?
Sure.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of teams have recognized that, and it's come to fruition, mainly by watching teams like the Patriots get beat by said defenses. And GMs and defensive coordinators have deferred to take their linebackers, their front seven guys, and their pass rushing specialists in the mid-first, I'd say mid-second, third rounds, and reach for their potential, shutdown left cornerbacks in the high first round. The Patriots did it a different way. And just hear me out here. In fairness, they probably thought that they had something in Azalius Thomas and Mike Vrabel for as long as he was still going to be there. So they probably thought they could still get consistent pressure. It didn't work out that way. But they still didn't really have anything behind them. And in direct contrast to what other teams were doing, they decided to wait on the front seven guys and take their secondary guys where everybody else was taking their front seven guys and their pass rushing specialists, and it did not work out for them. Now, this year, obviously, Chandler Jones looks like he's going to be a good impact player and Hightower, and the front seven pressure is there. The problem is the thing you forsaked it for the past 3 years has not gotten any better. They have not had a secondary from year to year where they have had three of the same starting players. There has always been some rotation in that starting lineup. And that is why, fundamentally, I believe they have failed. And I think we're going to have to hold them accountable for that.
Okay. Well, I think
I think there's a lot of truth to what Dan says.
Thanks, Dan.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with his whole premise of that he kind of did it backwards, the whole getting the secondary while, Adalys Thomas wouldn't be part of the equation now anyway, even if Adalys Thomas hit.
Well, but what I agree with him on is, to me, this goes back to, 06, 05. I don't think the 2007 defense was all that good, but when you're up 52-6, it's easy to be a pretty good defense.
I maintained that all that season.
But I do think Thomas is an example of what you talked about. He could do everything, except he couldn't do anything great.
But he couldn't do anything great.
Right.
And I think what we're getting toward at the point that I think Dan was making is to shut down this modern NFL passing offense, you either need to have great secondary play or great pass rush.
I agree with that.
And the Patriots, some of it by virtue of always winning, haven't had a chance to get a lot of that. Because a lot of great pass rushers and great corner guys, as Dan said, are valued. And they go high in the draft. How many times Patrick Petersons and Maurice Claiborne and these guys go in the top 5-8 picks in the draft, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That makes them hard to get. Even a couple of years ago, a lot of pass rushers went early. When I wanted Quinn, what did he go? 13, something like that. A lot of these guys go early.
But just a couple of picks before you went, right?
Wasn't no,
like
I know.
14 and you were 17?
But again, that implies somebody would trade with you, that somebody who wants Quinn is willing to trade down with you because pass rushers kind of went in a flurry there. So I agree. The thing they're lacking is, yes, elite pass rush or elite coverage or both.
They're lacking both.
Everybody likes to look to Green Bay. you know, because of Clay Matthews, because he's a guy you could have had. Okay, they swung and missed on that. Hard for me to criticize that because I thought he was a special teamer, didn't like them
yep.
coming here. You know, or Houston has developed that pass rush, you know, that just aggressive play up front. They went out and got their corner as a free agent. They invested in him, and we talked about that yesterday. Bill has never tried to do that, to my knowledge. Never said, I'm going to spend $50 million right here on a corner that can change our defense. So
I agree.
Some of this criticism is fair. His unwillingness or inability to put a lot of stock in those two areas. You know, we say he put a lot in first and second round picks, but the first round picks were in the late 20s, and the second round picks are second round picks. Yeah, it's higher than a fourth, but it's not a top 10 pick. It's not where you expect to get, you know, an all-pro playmaker. So I think it's a fair criticism on one level, but a little bit of an unfair one on the other. The only way to pick in the top 10 is to pick in the top 10, and when you pick there, it generally means you suck.
Correct. Now, I will say this on the other side, and I'm 100% in agreement with everything Andy just said, but there were more chances, I think, to get players that they missed on. You know, maybe you wouldn't have had, you know, the elite Patrick Peterson that you know, to use your example. Yeah, no, yeah, you got to be in the top 10, sometimes the top 5
right.
to get that guy. But there were a lot of pass rushes over the last 3 or 4 years that they passed on that
sure.
have been pretty good players. And not all great. They're not all Clay Matthews. Not all J.J. Watt. But there's been some other guys like Brooks Reed and, you know, second-round types. Jabal Sheard has been another guy in Cleveland's doing all right. You know, there's some guys like that it seemed like they didn't really have any interest in.
No, but
I'm not killing them for it. I mean, you miss. I mean, second-round guys that make major impacts, they're not guys that, you know, you come on every day. I'm not
a guy
killing
like Sheard, I don't, you know, I don't watch him every week, so I don't know
I don't
if he's
either.
Just
he
putting up some
stiff.
Cheap
he
numbers
a You're
on a bad
right.
team. And if he was on this team, we'd be criticizing. But a guy like Reed, I think, falls into the Bill's not really willing to go for a guy who just does one thing. Because he didn't think Brooks Reed was Lawrence Taylor. He doesn't do it to that level, just one thing. But other people say that one thing is good enough. That, you know, it's pretty, especially in this league, that one thing's pass rusher. You got to put a premium on that. And maybe you reach a little bit. He's not the well-rounded player you'd like. That's where I think that type of criticism is fair.
And I will say this as well. And again, I'm not. This isn't killing anybody because I have a tremendous amount of respect for this program. Everything that this program does.
I like when people say this program.
You know what I mean? I do. And I mean, to say otherwise is foolish. Like Fred says, you know, the game has passed him by. I mean, you just forfeit all credibility when you don't recognize the greatness of what they've done.
Sooner or later, though, the game will pass him by, right?
Well, yeah, when he's not coaching anymore.
Maybe.
But, Andy, I wonder, like a guy
Kevin
like
Falk had diminishing skills at one point.
A guy like Chandler Jones, specifically.
Okay.
Who I think is off to a terrific start. We're all very excited about what this guy could be. Maybe what he already is, but what he could be, you know, as he gets better. The last 2 years, well, say not necessarily last year, but if you go back to 2010, 2009, and they just said, well, he's got to be an outside linebacker who's got to set the edge. Who's got to drop in coverage? Who's got to do this? And then he's got to do that. And, oh, by the way, once in a while we'll ask him to rush the passer. Maybe he wouldn't have 5.5 sacks or whatever he has right now with 3 strip sacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically saying to him right now, go after the quarterback on passing situations. Don't worry about getting the guy out in the flat. Right. Don't worry about if they run, you know, you need to play the run. I mean, obviously, you got to be able to do both. I mean, you can't just be a defensive player and ignore the run if they run. I got this play off, but... You know what I mean? They're basically asking him to rush the passer.
Traditional defensive
event. Would he be as good if they were asking him to do everything that they made Mike Vrabel and a Dallas Thomas?
But who cares? I mean, don't you give Belichick credit for that?
Yes, yes.
He didn't continue to beat us up.
Why did it take so long is, I think, Dan's point.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe because he was still winning?
Let's go to
But he's still, you know, he... Again,
like, doesn't that make it harder?
But
if
again,
you're going to you won a couple Super Bowls 03, 04, 07, you're in this. Should we start to go? Because we talked about it here. Maybe you need to stop looking for these versatile outside linebackers, go to a 4-3 and get these guys that are coming out of college. I can play in a 4-3. But
that's
he's
my
saying,
point. And, but to use your thing,
I'm 18
Andy,
and 0. Why do I need to change this again? It ain't broke. Don't fix it.
I want to use your thing right now. Two parts. You know,
two
the
part question. John,
the ain't broke it. Don't fix it. If it's, you know. 06, you said, you already saw signs of this.
Right.
Right? So it's gone back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Use your eyeballs. Are they playing championship caliber defense? Have they played championship caliber defense for 5-6 years now?
But for
and
somebody,
my answer would be no. Yes, they're still winning. Yes, they're still winning.
But for somebody who has been running this for 20 plus years, you're talking about early 80s through the early to mid 2000s. He had run this scheme.
Yep.
And at various points, he'd been told the scheme's dead. You can't
remember
run that.
Pioli told us that.
Yes.
Remember?
And he always came back. It always came back and worked. As recently as 3 years earlier when he had the best team in football. As recently as, you know, 07 when it was good enough to play with that. So I think it's hard to scrap 20-plus years of success and philosophical advantage to say, well, you know, my eyeball tells me this year and last year, we really might want to consider. I just think that's hard to do.
But, and I wouldn't suggest saying, like, in 03 when Carolina beat the crap out of everybody and New England beat the crap out of everybody defensively in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it spurred the re-emphasis on the rules that were, you know, they wanted to make sure they called the rules as they were.
Right.
Right? I'm not suggesting that the Bill should have said, well, we're not going to be able to get away with that in 2004, so we need to change everything that we're doing. You know, they still had a great defense. And you're absolutely right. It worked. Why stop it? 04, 05, 06, or whatever, even 07. Yeah, this defense is good enough for this offense. But as you get to 08 and 09, and now it's been 2 or 3 years that you really have not played the way you want to play. Because you know Bill as well as I do. You know that no matter what he said publicly, you know he wasn't thrilled with the fact that the other teams were basically completing passes at will. And it's not, like I said, it's not a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't get stops when they needed them all of a sudden. And they basically won because they bludgeoned you to death offensively.
Right.
And you know that that's not the way he wants to play defense. And I think that he hasn't played defense the way he really wants to for a while now. Now, he has adapted, I think. I think you're seeing the signs of him adapting now. And hopefully with the young guys that are in here, there'll be enough Joneses and Hightowers to affect change.
But don't you think there's a chance in that transition phase he was saying, I'm going to outscore everyone. That's how this league is going to be right now. I don't think you can play defense. I don't think I can draft a pass rusher. I don't think it's going to matter. I think I need to outscore people. That's the league I play in right now.
Do you think he did?
I don't know. I'm just saying I think that's plausible. And then maybe he said, well, you know, some of these other teams are building a decent pass rush and they can affect people and the Giants are going NASCAR front and doing all this stuff.
Is it impossible to do both?
No, but you only have so much to dedicate to.
I mean, how hard is it to have a team where you have Tom Brady and you're going to waste him if you don't build around him and support him and try to also build up a championship caliber defense? Is it hard to do that?
It's borderline impossible unless you're perfect. Because you look at, I mean,
you gotta hit on all your picks.
Whatever team you want to tell me, okay, so the Giants used a lot of resources on the defensive front. You know, Pierre-Paul, Kiwanuka, those guys, they have resources there. Well, now they luck out because they have a guy like Cruz who develops as a great receiver.
Right.
If that doesn't develop,
as an undrafted.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you have to get lucky on some of that.
Right.
I mean, they've had bad picks too, right? So you have to.
Oh, yeah, everybody does.
You have to.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's the reverse. When the Patriots got lucky and drafted Tom Brady in the sixth round, they had a championship caliber defense, you know, with the Willie McGinnis and the Ronnie Harrisons and the Teddy Bruschi's and all those guys. And,
right.
You know.
I don't think you can build the perfect units on both sides of the ball with just planning. You have to get lucky. I do believe that. You have to get some, you know, James Harrison has to develop from a practice squatter into an elite guy.
Right.
Or Tom Brady. You lightning in a bottle. Cruz. Somebody. I don't think it's possible to plan and just hit everything so well that you all 7 picks made the team this year. We got 3 starting on offense, 3 starting on defense. We'll get another 7 next year, and just it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Mike's in Puerto Rico. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, just need you guys to help me walk off the ledge. Honestly,
Paul's gonna push you.
Well, thanks. And to be quite honest, I mean, just being on hold and hearing the 2 previous callers and the conversation that you guys had, I mean, it's pretty – you almost got me off of my point trying to expand on what you guys were talking about. But parity is here. I guess that's the way you call it. I mean, thank God for parity. God bless parity. Goodell's been trying to get it for years and years, and apparently we're in the midst of it. So – And just to, because I haven't heard the beginning of the show or yesterday's show, so I was just trying to follow up on it. At the beginning of the year, or every time you guys have a conversation about the team, you have always say, all things being equal, if you have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you'll take that team to at least make the playoffs and make a run at the Super Bowl, correct?
Sure.
Yep.
Don't you feel that, like, the three losses that we've had this year, or maybe not just this particular one in Seattle, I mean, I think it was a failure in Belichick as far as game situation and executing in particular situations, and on Brady in a specific situation.
Well, I agree, but that's why I'm not – one of the reasons I'm not worried. Because, yeah, they're human. They're going to make mistakes, but they don't do them often. And this was one of the games where they did.
But it's happening more and more often.
No, it is not. It really is.
See, I was very critical of Brady for the Cardinals game. I thought he did not deal with the pressure well. He anticipated pressure, and I thought that threw him off his game. So that's two games this year where Brady may have been part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Yeah, and I would say that the same game played this week would be totally different because I think that there was a transition going on with the offensive line, and I think Brady, you know, I don't think Brady was – you know, never admit it, but I don't think he was 100% confident with what's in front of him. I think what's in front of him has gotten better over those last few weeks.
And he did pretty well. I mean, for most of the line blocked pretty well. He only got rushed a couple of times. Boy, did he get sacked one, two times?
Yeah, I think they've improved. We mentioned that yesterday. I think particularly Vollmer and Solder had a solid game against the Seahawks.
But if you had 100 blame points for yesterday's loss, and you had to split it between McDaniel, Brady, and Belichick. And let's put in the defense. If you had 100 blame points on all four of those, how would you split them up?
Well, look, here's the thing. The ones with Brady and Belichick are so glaring because they're so unusual. And I think if either of them don't make those mistakes, I think that was the difference between winning and losing. So it's huge. It became huge in that game.
I'd go 60 blame points on the defense.
Right.
20 for Tom Brady.
What about not covering that punt and letting them get
10 for Bill Belichick and 5 for Josh McDaniels.
I'm going 30-30-30, Brady, Belichick, defense, 10 for McDaniels. The only thing I didn't really like about McDaniels was the last drive.
With Ridley running?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but you take out Brady and Belichick's mistakes, and I think the Patriots win. That's why people are so...
And the unfortunate part about it is those mistakes get so magnified because your defense couldn't go out there in the last 7 minutes and prevent an impotent offense from scoring twice. That's why Indy gives you 60%,
yep.
And I have a hard time arguing with that.
Credit where credit is due. They saw that Chung was out, and they had basically two rookies in the and playing safety, and that's where they decided to go deep with one of the, you know, maybe – top 10, top 15 receivers, and Sidney Rice, he's the one that made the catch, right?
Well, yeah,
yes.
He's a very good player.
That in itself could be a mistake by Patricia and Belichick for having them out there and not
he's such a fraud.
And not replacing Ebner with maybe someone with a little bit more experience.
But there's nobody else out there. I mean, other than maybe Sterling Moore. Maybe.
Well, you don't have to have a strict safety out there. You could have had one of the other corners out there in that situation. The only thing you had to do was keep people in front of you.
Yeah. I agree. And, well, hopefully, just to get off the line, I mean, it's a great week for a comeback. It's week zero as far as the division is concerned. I mean, we're ahead because we already beat Buffalo. But if we beat the Jets at home.
No, there's no if.
I'm sorry?
There's no if. They will.
I don't know, Fred. As of right now, it's 50-50.
Oh, come on.
No.
Get off the ledge, will you, please?
Look at the season. We're 50-50. Can you tell me otherwise? We're 50-50?
Yeah, they're going to beat the Jets. Don't worry about it.
Well, I hope you're right, Fred. I hope to God you're right. And by the way, the Patriots app, as far as the live blog, excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you. All right, Mike. In Puerto Rico, good to hear from you.
Are you more worried about the Jets or the Rams?
The Rams.
Me too.
Yep.
What?
I don't think there's a shot
absolutely.
The Jets win this game.
Oh, I don't think that.
This could be one of those years, and they've had them before the year they were playing the NFC North, and they lost to Green Bay at home, where the teams that they know the least give them the most problems, even though they may not be the better team.
I agree with that. I don't agree that the Rams are a bigger threat than the Jets.
Oh, you know why, Fred? They play in the NFC West, and Paul thinks everybody stinks.
They're just not very good.
Why do you?
Nor are the Jets.
You said that. No, last
I don't
week
think the Jets.
Seattle.
Have, to answer your question, and I don't think I still don't think they're very good.
We'll be in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks.
This one.
Listen, as I said yesterday.
He's not stubborn, he's
no, I said this yesterday, and I'll repeat it. I was wrong. I didn't think that Seattle could beat the Patriots. I was wrong. For me to sit here and tell you how bad Seattle is, it just sounds like I'm just being sour grapes. I am not any more impressed with Seattle as a team than I was before the game.
Well, I'm ready to fold.
I think the wounds were 100% self-inflicted.
I'm ready.
You go out and play a terrible. You go out and play terrible football. You can lose to anyone.
After this little victory celebration that they've had since the win, you know, going. Now I wish all bad things on them. They were in
but
my book.
You know, sticking with the NFC West.
Josh McDaniels.
I'll give you a couple of things that I got laughed at by you two guys for calling me stubborn on last week. Arizona, Buffalo, Miami, St. Louis. Who won those two games?
Well, I think Arizona is starting to read their own headlines and
because they're not good.
I think they've
just because
defense.
They beat the Patriots doesn't make them a good team.
I think they had a bad game.
The Patriots did.
No, the Cardinals.
No, the Cardinals are who they are. Oh. They're not very good.
All right. I think they have a legitimate defense.
But that doesn't make them a legitimate team.
No, I understand. But they.
But having a legitimate defense makes the Patriots a legitimate team?
I don't think the Cardinals defense is anywhere near the caliber of the Patriots offense in terms of the league.
I don't think it's as good, but I think a one-dimensional team in this league is called
and
good.
And I also think, to answer your direct question, which I kind of sidestepped there with that comment, I think if you don't have a quarterback, you can't be good.
I agree.
And they don't have a quarterback.
I agree.
Neither does Seattle. And that's why I don't think those teams are good.
Generally
that's why
agree.
I don't respect them.
Yeah, but see, to me, that's, I don't know.
But again, it sounds like sour grapes because the Patriots lost to them. And I don't want to sound like I'm
right.
Belly aching and making excuses for the Patriots.
No, you're consistent. TG and NJ says, Paul is right. There's too much media. All we need is PFW. Everybody else just go away. We talked earlier in the show about how
Fred
was just packed.
Commenting on the amount of people from the different outlets. And you know,
per outlet, there's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
how many people do you think you hear from Comcast for their Patriot Live Wednesday?
A lot.
10?
At least.
Yeah. They empty out Burlington for this.
They do.
The only one here that's not here is Len Mead. It's not. Everybody else is here.
It's not even live. That's what I don't like.
CG says he rewatched the Jets-Colts game in the Patriots-Seattle game.
That's what I don't like.
The first half of the Patriots-Seattle game, couldn't bring myself to watch that horrific second half. Anyway, looks like we should beat the Jets, but with the way things are going, I won't be surprised if we lose. God forbid, then the sky has truly fallen and the great Patriot reign may be over.
Oh, they could lose this game. If Tom Brady hits Cromartie in stride, and if, you know, Stephen Hill breaks free twice down the field for a long run,
yep.
And Jeremy Curley has a, you know, 50-yard punt return, yeah. The Jets will win.
Yeah, I'm not going to be stupid enough to say there's no way the Patriots, but I'm not emotionally prepared.
A guy just said if they win, and you said there is no if they will.
That's just fan speak. But, you know, obviously there is a way for them to lose. I don't expect
But a very plausible
and
way.
I'm not emotionally prepared for it.
I mean, Mark Sanchez is in the ballpark of Russell Wilson. He can throw the ball down the field.
Absolutely.
And if a guy has 5 yards behind the Patriots defense, he could hit him in stride for a touchdown. Tebow could do that.
I just think at home, coming off that loss where they knew they blew it, they're not going to let this one get away.
But that's under the assumption that they are in control of
it. I know.
And I certainly don't feel like this defense is in control of anything other than the ground game.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be stunned if Sean Green rushes for 175 yards and they beat the Patriots that way.
I would too.
Seems the team's injuries are a factor in their performance. Is there any skilled players who aren't banged up? I assume Lloyd will not play this week. Branch can't get open and all the other targets aren't 100%. Are we going to run the ball? I assume we're going to see some Tebow plays this week. Is there anything surprising the Patriots can spring on the Jets? Hernandez running the ball perhaps.
Well, I wouldn't. Not with his health.
Yeah. Lloyd, I fully expect him to play.
Yeah, he's got a bruised shoulder.
And he talked in the locker room today as well. I know that's not a telltale sign, but I don't think that injury is anything that's going to keep him out of the game. And I agree with Andy. I wouldn't be running Hernandez very often out of the backfield with his ankle.
Speaking, although he did start at running back last week.
Speaking of Hernandez, Felix from Houston writes in, Aaron seemed to be limping at the end of the game on Sunday as he walked to the sideline.
Yes,
is there any update? Also, I think the defense is going to rebound huge against the loudmouth Jets. Last thing, I think the dude walking around without a key needs to be given one before he gets kicked out of the building. Just
that
kidding.
could happen. That's
Andy.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
You have
idea
that blank look
about.
On your face.
Update on Hernandez. We don't know yet.
Haven't seen him.
Yep. So
yeah, we saw him briefly today in the locker room.
Okay, but, Paul saw him.
He's going to talk tomorrow, according to the media relations department.
And Gronkowski, his comments were, you know, he's all in, that he's back. It's good to have him back. It makes a difference for us. We're rolling with him, I believe, is how he – so it didn't sound like he was worried.
I told Paul my new thing with Gronkowski is to stand in the back of the pack when he's being interviewed and try to make him laugh.
He doesn't need any help there, I don't think.
I said, I'm glad that we're in good hands when we're on the road. These are the things that Fred focuses on.
Gerard, fist bump.
How you doing?
You have to laugh behind the glass.
Raphael says, I asked this question several times, but it didn't get read, so I'll ask it again, especially after yet another debacle in the defensive backfield. Is it me, or do all the cornerbacks on the Patriots, whether they're rookies or just new from another team, have a better first year with the Patriots than they have going forward with the team? It's obvious they digress. When is the question going to be asked, is it a coaching problem?
Is digress the right word?
Regress? Yes. I digress.
Yeah, digress is what's changed. The
they start talking about football, right. Baseball while they're out in the football field.
But I digress.
It's not like they go out and try to get the best coaches they can from outside the organization, guys who have other ways of teaching. Who other than McDaniels on this team has coached elsewhere, and that's only because he left and came back. All they do is promote the next guy up, but the next guy up doesn't mean he's good at it. We need new ideas. It can't be the be-all and end-all with Belichick. I think it's a disservice. I used to believe that it was a talent evaluation problem. Now I think it's a coaching problem. Something has to give. It can't always be the players.
Well, there's a lot in that email. Most of these guys, yes, are Bill Belichick, you know,
they come in
disciples.
At a low level when they work their way
I mean,
way
they coach at other college places and small jobs. But for the most part, yes, they are moving their way up.
First NFL job for just about every one of them, right?
Flores, Patricia, Boyer.
Oh, Chad O'Shea was elsewhere.
O'Shea was elsewhere.
Kansas City and Minnesota, I want to say.
Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, their first NFL jobs are here. But I agree with Paul. You know, none of these corners go on and have any success anywhere else.
Right. What's Darius Butler doing?
I would love to beat up.
Did he get cut again?
I don't know.
Because I saw him
tweets like a madman.
Well, he tweeted another hurdle for life or something. Oh. I assume maybe that's getting cut again.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm with Andy. If these guys left and even some of them, you know, like, okay, let's say Wheatley, Will Height, and, you know, who else? Wheatley, Will Height, and Butler. Let's say out of those three, one or two of them went on and, you know, did something. 0-3.
Right.
You know, Wheatley has been a fringe NFL player. Butler now appears to be a fringe NFL player. You know, Will Height, fringe NFL player. At what point do we just say, well, maybe we just misevaluated these guys and they're not as good as we thought? Now, the whole thing about they play at a certain level when they come in, I thought Butler showed some signs of having ability as a rookie. Nowhere near the ability that McCourty showed
right.
in his rookie year. To me, McCourty is the poster child for coming in
right.
at a level and then regressing, or digressing, as the emailer said.
Right.
But, you know, Wheatley did nothing as a rookie. Will Height
showed flashes.
Played a little here and there, but to me was always kind of up and down and often injured
mm-hmm.
as well. I mean, I don't really see that as being as big a problem, and I know that that's what some of the players have sort of talked about that. And so, I know the Globe wrote a story about this. Shalice Manza-Young wrote about how some of those young defensive backs didn't like the coaching, and they've complained about that. This is an old story. I'm going back a couple of years.
Okay.
I don't know if it's any validity to it, but to me it seems like excuse-making to me on the part
guy
of
guy with
players.
An axe to grind.
Yeah.
But
I like these guys that use Twitter as, like, their own personal Hallmark card. It's like, you know, I had a bad day today, but tomorrow's another day.
Right.
You know, keep your chin up.
But I do think – I think one of the other things is, like, your expectations change. As soon as you see Butler play a game, make some nice breaks on the ball, you're like, oh, maybe he's a little something. Now and you start to expect more.
Right.
Same with McCourty.
Oh,
you started to expect more than even he was as a rookie.
We're so eager here to see any
right.
type of, you know.
So I think that's part of why they regress. They don't actually regress. They just don't develop in the way you want them to meet your expectations. We project. We project what we want onto what these guys are instead of what they really are.
James Pettigrew,
you went 1-5 in the six pack last week, by the way. Good job by you.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in, if given the choice, would you rather have seen Hernandez's contract spent on a cornerback?
Yes.
You would?
Yes. I don't know.
Here's the,
he bothers me. These drops bother me. Paul question, makes fun of me because 2 years ago I wrote, if this guy can ever catch all the balls thrown to him and stop with all these injuries, he could be great.
Why do I make fun of you?
Because I wrote it under your name.
Thank you.
But isn't that still a problem? If he can stay healthy and catch the ball all the time at key times, he could be great. Right now he's just really good, right?
Yeah.
And
the question is, do you
need... It's kind of like Vince Wilfork. I wouldn't have re-signed him, and he's your best defensive player right now with consistency. I wouldn't have re-signed him. I would have gone after a pass rusher. I'm on the record saying that, and I kind of stick with it.
Do you need the two of the tight ends? In order to do what they want to do, I know, like, are you buying that?
Because Hernandez is going to be Welker. That's part of this trifecta. Well, your slot receiver is Hernandez, and your tight end is Gronk.
And I like to go with Andy on some of these, like, football things like that, you know, the schematic stuff. And if you need that, if he's going to be Welker and that's how you feel, then I wouldn't have rather seen that.
And I think
money
having both of them gives
Vince,
them
I'm
a,
with you.
A unique well, ability to do things that, you know, create just mismatch nightmares for other teams.
The other argument there, and I know it's a little different because these contracts were true extensions, so the value for Gronk and Hernandez are kind of coming. They're not really here now. But Welker's making $9.5 million this year. If he's gone, there's an allotment there of money, depending how it's divvied up. Maybe that's corner money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always money rotating through
I'm
the books.
Excited. Well. 2013 going all the way.
Well,
wow, you're already cashing in your chips on 2012.
Well, I don't know.
Back to back.
Are there any free agent corners available?
We're waiting.
They could spend nine, because that's what you're going to spend.
Yeah.
You're going to spend $9 million a year if you want to go get a top flight corner. That's what, I mean, what do you get? $50 million for
Joseph?
All of them. Isn't that what they all get, $50
million? Yeah,
the guy who
Samuel.
Went to Dallas, the number two in Kansas City, went to Dallas,
Brandon,
got $50 million.
Flowers,
so
car,
you're going to spend, you know,
car.
6 years, $54 million on a corner. Would you do it?
Sure. If he's legit, yes.
Well, but
when you pay him, you think he's legit.
Yeah, and you can easily say that, but you'll change your tune if the Patriots deem not interested in
he's not worth it.
Right, no, but if someone else would get, you know, like you said, that Asante Samuel wasn't worth that.
Oh, the Philadelphia Eagles
didn't
like it either.
Whoa. Fred, he played at a Pro Bowl level for the Philadelphia Eagles for years.
Yeah, but he's
then they got rid of him.
And the Philadelphia Eagles are a sinking ship.
So let's not say that the Philadelphia Eagles misevaluated.
Why are we saying the Philadelphia Eagles? Why are we using the full name?
I don't know. He started
but
it.
But just because the Patriots don't think a guy's legit at the cornerback and safety position means zilch. Because their credibility in picking corners and safeties is at an all-time low right now.
Well, it's hard to argue with that. Eric from Hong Kong writes in. He says
Eric right from Providence is walking in.
Yeah, let me read this email, and Eric will get settled over there. I listen to a number of sports shows, and you guys are the most entertaining by far.
Thank you.
Spontaneous and funny. I recently signed up for Patriots Football Daily, the iPad app, as a thank you for the years of laughs and insight. Now to the Patriots. The losses have been brutal, but I think the frustration rises from the fact there is so much potential for this team. The offense has weapons to both run and pass the ball with plenty of talent at the skill positions. Defensively, the front seven with Jones, Spikes, Mayo, Wilfork, and Love is solid. While the secondary is depressing, they have to be able to improve. I think we can win it all. The team has more talent than last year. What do you think? I can't imagine we will become the Dallas Cowboys, a team with tons of talent that squanders games away.
Is the team more talented and better than last year?
I don't know yet.
I think so. Yeah,
I'm not so sure. All things being equal, I'm not so sure.
Well, part of it to me is the state of the guys. In other words, guys that were here last year that are still here.
Gronk,
Hernandez. I mean, they're not more talented than they were last year because they're not healthy.
And
enough
that's
to
why
be.
I added good a little in there. Are they more talented and as good or better than last year?
Yeah,
and I don't think
saying?
They are.
Those two guys have not been able to be what they were last year yet.
And Gronk's got
no
three
fault.
Touchdowns.
No fault of their own.
It's going to be hard to get to 18 when you got three.
I mean, I watched Gronkowski on that game on Sunday.
Yeah, but we all said he wasn't going to have 18 touchdowns.
But Fred,
has he been anywhere near the impact guy that you thought he would be?
No, but it's not like they're targeting him and he's dropping balls.
No,
or,
but why?
Because of other factors. He's as talented as he's ever been.
But this is what I'm talking about.
But I'm translating.
But he's not as talented as he was last year right now because physically he can't be. Well,
and
I'm translating talent
into production.
Okay, well.
I mean, a little bit of a.
I don't think it's fair to talk about injuries when you're evaluating.
And like, no, is Chandler Jones better than Andre Carter?
I think the upside is better.
Is the upside this year?
At this point right now, he may not be as good.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm asking.
And you didn't replace the other guy who we thought was overrated to begin with.
Yeah, but I think in the new scheme, Ninkovich has been just as productive as Anderson.
Of late, Ninkovich has been good.
Absolutely.
I'll give you that.
You know, in a little bit of a different position,
But you had Ninkovich last year.
I know, but he...
So he's not in addition to Ninkovich.
But it's a whole different position, and I think he's getting production out of where he is more than he had last year.
He's producing like he produced last year. Ninkovich as an outside line? Yes.
I think
he's played fine. I'm not blaming Rob Ninkovich for anything. He's played fine.
He had a good year last year.
He had a good year last year. He just played a different spot, that's all.
I don't look at the front seven and saying, oh, geez, we're not as good as we were last year. Well, I don't look at that. How can you say that?
Because I don't think you're looking at the players.
And I didn't ask you that. I said, are you better?
Well, the question is, are you more talented? And I think Andy's right. I think that you
and like Brandon
Lloyd,
on paper, he was better, right? On the field, is he better?
Than who?
Than whatever you were last
year.
Yes. I'm not so sure.
Nah, I'm not either.
I thought Deion Branch made some big plays for this team last year. I'm not sure Brandon Lloyd's made a big play yet.
It goes to my whole thing. I don't care about the catches.
Right.
You know, I want to see plays.
If we force-fed Deion Branch
all the time, I remember a lot of times when we wanted Deion Branch to make big plays and they were falling incomplete. You know,
really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember him disappearing. I remember not throwing his way.
Right.
But I don't remember him failing to make plays. And I must have missed through six games, which is more than a third of the season, all the big plays that Brandon Lloyd has made.
Yeah.
I must have missed all the big Brandon Lloyd plays.
The Giants game, didn't they need Branch? And, you know, he had that one ball where, you know, he just couldn't get separation out in the flat.
Well, if you want to talk about not getting separation, I think Brandon Lloyd is the same guy.
Brandon Lloyd hasn't had separation on a play yet.
I know it was a home game, but Branch wasn't exactly...
The separation he gets is when teams choose to trade him at the end of every year.
Look, Branch was far...
Well, media guys running away from him
after
he yelled
at him. Branch was far from a go-to guy last year. Come on.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh.
Branch was not a go-to guy.
Well, what do you mean by go-to?
That's what I'm saying.
A go-to guy was Welker, Gronk, and Hernandez.
No, not that, but a go-to... He made plays for this team.
Yes,
you could go-to him.
He made more important catches last year than Lloyd has thus far this year. I will say that without any problem at all.
Well, and this is just a
Lloyd has more catches. He's going to catch.
I know.
He's going to end up with way more catches than the 50 that
Branch is still
had
on the team. It's not like they got rid of him because they have Lloyd.
Well, they did actually.
They
did to start the year actually.
And they also have replaced Branch's role.
Okay, so are there? You know,
the running backs are better.
Are there passes that went to
the
Lloyd
running backs are better
that he didn't make that Branch would have? I mean,
I just don't think he's made as many plays. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I think they're a little bit different players in their role.
Andy just said something. The running backs are much better, I think. Yeah. I think Ridley Bolden has been much better than Benny and Ridley were
and
last
Woodhead's
year.
Better than he was
and
last
Woodhead
year.
And Woodhead is playing better than he did last year.
So the running back is a clear
especially
up,
the last two games.
Clear up mark. Yeah. Offensive line, probably not as good. You don't have Waters and you don't have Light. Yeah. Solder's been better. Vollmer's been better.
Yeah, I think that's a work in progress.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
The potential is probably there for it to be close to as good, but right now I'm not going to give it
so
to
the
it.
Sum of the parts is I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, wait. I, right now I don't see it being more
Speaking
talented.
Speaking of not
team.
Sure, Eric's here, and he's...
No, he meant about your shirt. You weren't sure whether you wanted to wear short sleeves or long sleeves today, so you wore both.
But he does have a gray waffle shirt underneath. Now, you must have a whole... closet full of those waffle shirts.
I love the waffle shirts.
And you spent a lot of time in there picking them out.
See, now that's
I love how he
you
looks
did it
life.
On purpose. You
I
did it on purpose.
I
the hell you didn't.
No,
don't
I
don't even try.
You did
don't even try to pretend that you weren't trying
the
to set
you
him up.
Do. No.
Who says the hell
you did it?
That's Andy. That's Andy always with his mind.
Like an old
every once in a while he morphs into a 1950s ex-con.
All right, so what do we got, Eric?
Lame walkthrough.
Lame walkthrough.
Yeah.
So that means everybody was
Everybody's
out there?
Hurt?
Everybody except two guys, which I think is kind of notable because at walkthroughs everybody shows up. Brandon Bolden.
I predicted it.
And he did predict that.
And Tracy White.
Okay. I didn't predict it.
But, yeah, but I mean, okay. I saw Bolden after the game, immediately afterwards when we were walking back to the security screening. And he was slightly limping, but he looked a lot better than he was, I thought, anyway, on the sideline during the game.
Yeah, he ain't playing.
But
yeah,
gone. Strike him from your memory for this week.
He might be...
dead.
He might be a candidate to be
put on a list to make room for one of these other guys who might be returning. You have PUP, you have NFI, you have the IR designated for return guy in Shanko. So one of these two guys, or both of them, could be candidates to be gone for the rest of the year if they need to make a move to bring somebody up.
Yep. What else do we got?
I don't like that.
What?
I think Bolden you need to keep around.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
but
no,
I'm just
I have
saying,
no idea what his injury is. You know, his injury might.
The fact that
he broke his leg and he's dead. I mean, he's dead.
If it's serious, then you know.
But like
10
I said,
left,
he was walking. Not... He was walking to the airplane. We saw him the other day. So.
Yeah, but that I've fallen into that trap. Any other observations?
Was that when you were trying to make him laugh?
Well, they only let us see until
he mumbled at me.
We were only allowed to watch until all the players had arrived on the field, and then.
All right, they're here. Go.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's literally what happened.
You know what? Here's the thing. I would just as soon them say no access period.
I know, but I guess by the rules, they're
PFWA.
They're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. As long as it's fair for everybody, I don't care. You know, because this is just ridiculous.
It is. It's a
show. Does it concern any of you that they only have two actual days now that they're going to be able to practice?
No.
For the Jets?
No.
Why?
No?
Why?
Because there's a walkthrough today.
Because of the equine virus, the Triple E?
What the hell is he talking about?
He's drunk.
I think he had a stroke earlier in the show.
Andy would
you
know.
Missed it.
Down
he couldn't
Dartmouth,
speak.
All the high school teams, they can't practice.
They have all their games early, practices early. You can't do anything after dusk and late in the evening. But I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with this team.
He's saying because they have a walkthrough on Wednesday. The game is Sunday, so you have two more days of practice.
Yeah, you can't practice on Saturday.
I think it's probably a sign.
In pads.
They're really beat up.
Well, yeah.
It was a long flight. Right, a long flight. They were beat up a little bit, but...
Oh, but they have the same amount of practices this week.
Well, a walkthrough is not a practice.
They just took one of their practice days that they normally have. I'll help you out.
All right, thank you.
Somebody better, because I'm coming across the table in a minute.
They normally practice on Wednesday. You know, not a walkthrough. They normally practice on Wednesday.
So
they've now said to themselves, we're going to have to get by with only 2 days of practice this week, as Eric said at the start.
I think they consider this a practice, even though it's not.
I understand it's considered a practice, but it's not the same.
But they're not actually practicing.
Well,
they're not running around running plays.
And I think it is an
they're
indication.
They're walking around going through plays. Yeah,
but that doesn't count. That's what you do on Saturday once the hay is in the barn.
Play how you practice, and if you do that all week,
I think Bill's
killed.
A little concerned with the overall health of the team. And I think coming off a long flight, as they Andy and Eric both said, you get some banged up guys off a long flight, I think. There's some concern there. So Eric is asking, is that concerning to anyone that they're
and
chosen?
You said,
to,
and because you said, of the equine.
I don't even know what you said.
Triple E. Any other observations,
oh,
Eric?
Oh, Lord.
Do you know what Triple E stands for, Fred?
Now, did the officials cost us any practice time?
Wow.
They're going to fight.
That's a shot.
I noticed upon further review has a pattern developing after every loss, and the officials cost us every game.
Well, that's how you get the good comments.
Right.
It's called pandering.
Are you telling me that Deion Branch wasn't interfered with on that third down?
I think he was.
I don't think so.
That was blatant.
Guy had him in a pair.
It was
huh?
blatant.
You got Fred in your corner.
I thought of that. Let's put it this way. If my team gets called for that in that situation, I'm sending tapes to the league and wanting an explanation. That's all.
If your team gets called for pass interference?
Yeah. I don't think that was pass interference. I think it was
the definition is you can't hit the receiver before the ball gets there.
Do you know how many times a guy gets hit before the ball gets there during the course of the game? You can't call
pass
interference.
Yeah, it should be called.
Well, all
right. This is right in the middle of the field.
Okay, so previously on
I'm not saying this.
Previously
I'm not saying a little light tap. I'm talking about
actually. Paul doesn't like when you touch him.
Previously and after further review, we complained about a Gerard Mayo pass interference call where he hit the receiver before the ball got there on a 5-yard pass on 3rd and 10, and we credited that with being a big part of the loss. I thought that was a horrible call on Gerard Mayo. I thought it was ticky-tack at best. But by letter of the law, he hit him before the ball got there.
Okay.
And we wrote, upon further review, or after further review, that you know that was a horrendous call that turned the tide of the game and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, so if you thought that was a bad call, then you didn't think this one
was. Well, they're all bad calls.
Okay.
That's the pattern I've established. Is after the Patriots lose, they're all because of bad calls.
If it's a bad call.
Patriots.com.
Or a bad
no one loses like the Patriots.
Or if it's a bad night, I know, because we're the only fan base that complains about the refs.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between being a fan base and covering the team. Do you not see the difference in that? You think that's the same?
If you see a penalty that should have been called that isn't, it's your job to report it.
I don't think that's your job. No.
Really?
No.
I mean, to see what you said.
You're supposed to
say what you saw.
Oh, okay.
Well, call it like you see.
Like I said, why the differences then? Why the one that was called against us did we think was a bad call?
I don't know.
But this one we thought was.
I don't remember saying
that,
Paul.
Kind of the same thing.
Are you saying that I wrote that?
Against Baltimore?
That the Gerard Mayo call was bad?
Yes.
I don't remember saying that.
Yeah. You sure it was Eric and not a million other writers?
Yeah, I know. No, I think that's kind of what we do now. Is, you know, we blame the games on the officials. You started. You get everybody all whooped up into a frenzy. It's all you.
I don't
even blame Eric. I blame you.
Okay. All right.
All I can tell you is
I don't remember
on your little chat.
I'll take the blame.
Your little online chat there with all your little curse word buddies.
He disparages everything everybody does. Paul with his pregame social.
It's not my pregame social.
Wow.
What about Bill?
Fred's face. When I called in his little chat, he was like, I'm aghast. Yeah. He turned into the Eric Brief, the 1950s ex-con again.
What about Bill Belichick, Eric?
Freddie, I didn't. No, I'm just kidding.
He had to get a new phone.
Right.
Nothing really good there, honestly. Nobody had. There were long pauses between questions.
Did you ask any?
Really?
Yeah.
Long pauses because
between each question, because I don't think people really had anything to say, and they were trying to fill the space with things to say.
So he wasn't like taking his
time
to
answer. That's what I thought.
No. After his answers, there would be long pauses.
People
before.
Didn't have anything to ask. It's Jets week for
crying
out loud.
I know.
I can't believe that.
Well, he doesn't answer anything, so that's part of it.
No, but at least he get it out there.
No, people have been worn down. We know that.
It's Jets week.
And by the way,
what's your question?
Was he an a-hole?
That's my question for Bill. Something about the Jets.
Bill, something about the Jets.
No, he was asked Jets-related questions, but they weren't.
No one really cares about those.
Yeah, and most of them were they were inside questions, if you know what I mean.
What do you mean, inside questions?
They were from, you know who I'm talking about.
Am I distancing myself?
Field Yates?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they were friendly questions.
That's Eric Scalavino. Well, one question is your team banged up? I mean,
that was not asked.
No, I know, but that's...
Well, we also didn't know that was a walkthrough until afterwards.
No, but you've had 17-plus guys in the injury report for a couple weeks in a row. You had new guys limp off, so you're pushing, you know, half your roster, 20-something guys could be on the injury report or whatever.
Yeah.
Is your team banged up at this point in the season? Now, you're going to get, all teams are banged up.
Right, everyone's on the injury report. Blah, blah, blah.
Crap.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a legitimate question. But did I? I didn't hear it. Was he an a-hole to Michael Holly on EEI the other day? Because there were a lot of whiner line things, like making fun of Holly and the situation.
I was listening to that, and not as much as he has been in the past. No,
A-holes are relative.
No, he something about Holly's questions, and I kind of side with Bill here. They're kind of stupid questions.
What are you laughing at?
You know, they're like...
Because I kind of side with Bill.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked.
No, but it's just like, really? Is that what we're asking here? You know? So
he asked how they can do to prevent the big plays that they're allowing.
Right.
That's an offensive question?
Well, what do you expect? What am I going to say? Cover him better. I mean, that's the answer.
That would have been nice, except for his answer after a 30-second pause was, well, you think they want to go out there and they want to allow big plays? I'm sorry. That's not an acceptable answer.
Well,
it really isn't. Yeah. We all know they want to cover. And are you telling me there's nothing you can do because we'll just end the season now? Because if you can't fix that, you can't win. So you're telling me there's nothing you can do. You don't have anything in your head.
That's not what he said.
And by the way, the guy who he thought was good enough to spend an entire year with the team is now a total football a-hole moron?
Yeah, I don't think he got real. I don't think he was bad with Michael.
I mean, because you just said his questions are stupid.
I think so.
I don't think
some of them.
I didn't hear the whole
interview. I mean, this is a guy
interview.
That Bill thought had enough respect and his credibility to allow him to come and go through the players' entrance and spend a year here.
Well, maybe that's what makes Bill more more disappointed with the questions.
That's exactly
he's asking
right.
tough questions. I expect more. From
I expect you to bow down and kiss my feet.
I don't want you to ask me the questions that everybody has on their mind. I want you to give me friendly fire. I know it's not.
It's not a tough.
It wasn't a tough question.
It's just like, well, what do you want me to say?
Answer it.
We need to the communication needs to be better.
We're biting on double moves. I mean, how many times has Kevin McCourty another double move?
He didn't have to throw anybody under the bus. He didn't have to single out somebody and say, listen, you know, McCourty and Arrington are not getting the job. He didn't have to say something like that.
I know, but I think he answered it after the game, and he answered it on Monday. Exactly what you just said. No, they need to play better.
He said, it's not like we want to go out there and give up all these big plays.
That was Monday on the EEI.
Well, that's what we're talking about, the Michael Hawley interview.
But he had two opportunities on the Monday conference call and after the game that he answered that same question.
So Michael Hawley
can't
ask any
questions. So Michael Hawley's supposed to listen to the other interviews and ignore
those
questions?
What's the point of having the interview?
Well, yeah, how many times have we criticized people of saying, why do they keep asking the same
questions?
No,
but that's different. When you have a scheduled weekly interview.
I criticize people for going on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and asking the same questions that were asked on Wednesday and Thursday.
This is a scheduled radio interview.
Michael Hawley talks to him once.
Right.
No.
And he needs to get to his audience the questions of the game. Yeah. He can't assume his audience was listening to a conference call.
All right.
Well. Right?
I didn't know you guys were such big Michael Hawley.
I'm actually not.
No, but I think that
this will be shocking. But I mean,
I think
he's
Andy
in the
hits
right.
the crux of the issue. I think because Michael Hawley is our guy, and he dared asking him something that was negative from the game. That's why he reacted.
Oh,
I
didn't detect
and
that.
I actually think it's
I think
kind
if
of
that
a,
had come from
a
somebody
softball
else,
question.
It was absolutely a softball
you just gave
question.
Up a ton of big plays. You lead the league in big plays allowed. What can you do? Yeah. It's pretty open-ended and simple. Go where you want, Bill. I didn't say that your rookie safety sucks. What can be done about that? I said big plays, big general, don't rip any players, tell me what can be done.
Yeah, I didn't detect it was...
In a game, by the way, that he made changes in his...
I didn't detect...
I told you. It's not like we go out there and we try to give up big plays.
I didn't detect, you know, how dare you ask me a tough question or how, you know, I didn't detect that. Like,
so what did you just,
why would you
absolute think, arrogance?
Yeah,
or?
Listen to, have you listened
no,
to
no,
it?
No, that's
yeah.
what
I'm
saying.
See, I did.
It. Go listen to it.
I listened to the there was a three question period that they played on the on Dennis and Callahan. And there were these long, I mean, like at least 10 second pauses.
In person or was this a?
I think those are done in person.
Ooh,
yeah.
That would have been good.
And then
watch.
A lot of times the pauses were so long and awkward that Michael like would keep talking because he was like, I don't know. Well, you know, and to try to stop those, you know, like he was so.
See,
uncomfortable.
I think Michael should have come out and been an a-hole. Did you not hear me? Your
and
headphones
he
not working.
And he didn't. And Bill wasn't like I said. Bill wasn't openly belligerent to Michael. I think Fred's right about that. I think that Bill's answers. I think he was perturbed that he had to answer the questions.
Well, Bill's not a total moron. He knows he can't be a 100% a-hole on the radio. That's not good for
business.
That's
I don't
not
think
good
he
for
did
anybody.
That. I don't think he was. I agree with Fred on that. I think he was typically evasive, but I thought the long pauses and sort of the not answering the question, it was like, I'm asking a question about this, and I'm going to answer this.
Well, people don't know that Bill was tweeting while that interview was going on.
Because I actually thought Bill was this close post-game with Jim Donaldson to losing his cool.
Yes.
I thought Bill was really, really close to me seeing for the first time maybe, or certainly in a long time since like Ken Powers' days, of losing his cool a little bit up there, and he kind of reined and caught himself. But I got to give Donaldson credit. He always has like a follow-up ready when Bill gives him a short, curt answer, and he got like three deep, and it was like Bill was... Ooh, close
and if
to
that's
snapping.
Going to happen, it's going to happen post game because that's when you figure his emotions are at a high and he's, you know, he's vulnerable.
What was it with Ken? Were we going to get belligerent now?
You can get as belligerent as you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That got awkward.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like looking down at my phone.
Were you here then? Do you remember Ken Powers? He worked for the Worcester Telegram. Mm-hmm. He was here. He was like a Daily Beat guy, and then he got in some trouble. He had an unfortunate plagiarism incident.
One of those.
He got fired. But he
Who
had a
hasn't?
He had an altercation. He was one of those guys, like, he just walked around and was like, oh, woe is me all the time. You know, Bill hates me. I don't know why. Bill hates me. You know, well, maybe because you're openly trying to start fights with him during press conferences.
All right, let's get to some emails.
Must have been entertaining to
like,
watch, though.
Sure huh?
The thing
is, who he was.
We don't even have anybody like that anymore. There was an era when you could have, you know, Ron Borges for a short period of time. Mannix would certainly do it. Powers would do it.
Do you remember
the late great Alan Greenberg could do it and somehow
Alan did it with
without,
smile.
Right. Yeah, without it really getting.
Right.
But he would push the envelope a lot like that, and now there's no one.
Curran tries sometimes, but I you know, he's too busy doing all his other stuff.
Plus, to me, like, the great part about Alan Greenberg was he could do it coolly.
Right.
Whereas a guy like Curran,
right,
he's zero to hot like Paul. Like,
yeah, that's true.
And I'm sure he knows in his head,
that's
I
true.
Can't trust myself to start a fight with Bill. That ends my career or that ends my
well,
whatever.
And I think part of it, though, is in the days of Mannix and those guys, the team wasn't as good. So there was more reason to, you know, criticize the team and ask those types of questions. They're a pretty good team. I mean, how you know what I mean?
But I mean, you can be pretty negative about the cornerback situation.
Oh, yeah. And I think
that sucked for 6 years.
Yeah. And I think, you know,
but Mannix, too, could also do it with the, remember the whole, he went to one side of the room, he didn't answer it, he went to the other side of the room and asked the question again, like it was a different guy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, like, we don't have that.
Bill Mannix here.
I mean, Mannix had Bill Parcells throw iced tea in his face.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Something. I didn't know that.
Not at a press conference, but outside the stadium.
Threw iced tea in his face?
Yeah.
He threw something at him. Remember, Kevin told me that story.
Threw his drink at his face. At him, yeah.
What did Mannix do?
He was just probing.
Did he go after him?
He got in a fight. Yeah, they had an altercation. They had a pretty heated altercation.
Yeah, it was heated. It wasn't
I'm pretty sure he called him a fat toad or something like that after that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they got into it pretty good.
It is what it is.
You know, I think those days are gone. I really do.
Why? Are they gone everywhere or just here?
I think that back then, a guy like Kevin Mannix or Ron Borges or Bob had more power.
See, I think those days are gone because I don't think you can get any access if you do that.
Well, it's not just that, Paul.
I think
they had
it.
What
more,
access are you getting?
They had more weight. I mean, those guys were the true gatekeepers of the fans and the team. They had a lot of power. Nowadays, teams, not just the Patriots, but pro sports teams have taken away that power from those guys because you can go to our website and watch Bill Belichick live. You don't have to count on them to tell you what happened.
Exactly. You know, but so what does Borges lose? He doesn't get anything from Bill. So why can't Borges come in and ask whatever he wants? And the players are still going to love him because he still is in with the players. Because anytime he wants a one-on-one with any player, he walks up to him and they end up talking for a half hour and BSing. And and when they want tickets to a fight in Vegas, they call Borges. Borges is not losing the players. They can't say, you can't come in our locker room, right? I mean, for asking questions at a press conference?
Yeah. So
what's he got to lose?
But I also think it has to do with the team itself. The team has been great over the last 11 years. And, you know, you do that, and the fans think, well, he's just trying to cause trouble.
But just because they're great as a whole doesn't mean there aren't
topics. Elements that need to be
addressed. You know, your kid can come home with straight A's. You still have to get on him to work every week.
I
mean, have to say, you need to do your homework tonight. It's Tuesday. Do your damn homework. I don't care you got a straight A last semester. Do your damn homework.
Right. Tom Brady is going to the Hall of Fame as arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, yet he still needs to be asked a question as to why his quarterback is not on the practice field 3 or 4 Wednesdays ago.
And
it goes unasked.
And
that to me is astounding.
And I do think that people should ask Bill, you know, and whether you list all the stuff, but over the last, you know, since 2007, whatever, you've had a plethora of guys that you brought in at defensive backfield. It doesn't seem like anyone's stuck to the point of, you know, this is who we have back there. You know, what do you attribute that to? Or, you know, whatever.
Well,
I think it does deserve to be asked.
He won't answer.
But it won't
be. He won't answer.
But it won't be asked.
But it needs to be asked.
But it won't be. Because these guys won't ask those kinds of questions. That's Andy's point.
Yes.
And you think it's because it's changed now.
And he won't answer.
These guys are afraid because they don't want to be the guy that Ken Powers complained
about.
Because
all the fans and everybody on these stupid boards are
going to
make fun of him.
Bill's right. He is a jerk. He's trying to cause trouble.
Right. Well, no, Bill, you didn't answer a question for the last 5 years.
And I use the word access, but I'm talking about the whole thing. They don't want to be persona non grata.
Right.
But they're, you know,
because most of the other people are in Bill's pocket. So if you do that,
but what
you're
going to
get Glenn Ordway and Michael Hawley mocking you on the radio that afternoon.
What does it mean to be persona non grata on this team?
But listen,
he's saying more in general.
Yeah, you're missing my bigger point.
Nobody wants to be hated. Nobody wants to have every caller on EEI mock them.
This isn't a Patriots thing. This is a sports thing now. This is a journalism thing.
But it's more so here.
They do it in all the sports. No one wants to be the guy to ask these young guys that come into the media now. Don't ask anything remotely negative, because they want to do
turned on young reporters.
All they want to do is get on this. They want to get on their iPhones and tweet the players and tell them what a great game they had last night, so they can be friends. That's what the media does now, Fred.
Wow, Paul just swinging.
What they do.
I think there are some still that, you know, not just
old school guys like Borges, like Andy's talking about, but not
but even
the new
he
guys.
Is kind of giving up on it.
Well,
and I think
that's
Bill.
I just don't think it means that
because
much.
Because the setup you have is you have to be the a-hole. There is no way to do it without being the a-hole, really. Because if you ask the question, Bill won't answer it. You know, there's a lot that could, you know, various different, but, and he doesn't say anything.
Breaks into the Bill voice.
And then you ask a follow up, and he doesn't say anything. And you ask a follow up, and now you're being belligerent, and now you're battering. No, no, I just want you to answer one of the questions that I asked, not ignore it.
Right.
Right. And that's, so you lose. It's a lose-lose situation for the reporter. Now you're branded the a-hole. Now every caller on EEI makes fun of you. The hosts make fun of you.
Why is that, though?
Because they're in the pocket of the coach. And I'm not saying fans shouldn't be, but most of the media and the coach and the fans are in his pocket.
My point, if the team wasn't winning, they wouldn't be in his pocket.
Correct. But that doesn't mean on a week-to-week basis there aren't difficult questions that should be asked if you're an actual journalist.
Absolutely. Think about the entire offseason with the Red Sox.
And I think Bill's done a masterful job of setting that bar so low.
Maybe his greatest accomplishment, more so than even coaching on the field, is the way he has chopped the New England media off at the knees.
Yeah. And part of that, and it's twofold, how he treats them and how he handles it and winning.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can't have, if he didn't win, sooner or later, people would grow balls.
Right.
And then the fans, I mean, there'd be more of the fans that say the game has passed him by.
Right.
And then it would be on him. Then the hosts that are in his pocket would jump out of his pocket and start ripping him in the afternoon, and then everybody's turned on him, and he's out of town.
Right.
But he wins, so it doesn't matter.
When you win, you can do what the hell
you
want.
Yeah, I just think that the media-wise, I mean, like, I look at the Red Sox situation and how little criticism they got all offseason in terms of the, you know, the media that's trying to talk about the chicken and beer brigade and how much static they got for doing that. And, you know, and it gets into the season, they hire Bobby Valentine. It's not Bobby's fault. He was cut off at the knees. It was just gross underachievement from day one. And it got all the way to September before they really started criticizing them. And that, to me, it's just because you could say it's about winning. I don't think these guys want to do it. They want to be the guys, the good guys. They're the fans, and they want to be the mouthpiece for the fans. I'm with you guys. I'm with you. I'm going to tell you what a great game you played last night, and I'm going to not say anything derogatory because I don't want to fall out of favor. They don't want to lose. You know, there's a million different guys that I could use as examples, but it doesn't mean anything to our guys because our listeners don't know who all these
Just give me a couple
are.
Examples.
He will eventually.
Rob Bradford, is he one of them?
Are you bringing him out?
I'm just asking.
Why'd you bring him
He's
up?
A baseball name that
why'd
I've heard.
Why'd you bring him up?
I don't know anything about him, and why'd I've you heard you talk up? About him negatively in the past.
Yeah, he's one of them.
You just roll him under the bus.
Yeah.
He tried to throw me
even
under
when
the bus.
I didn't, even when I didn't say it, he has to say it.
So you think this is all media, all sports, all locations?
No, I think it's it probably is all locations, but I think it's accentuated here. New York seems to still be pretty, like, those New York guys, they look like they're dying to kill the
Jets. But is it because of the winning? The Red Sox have won recently here, too. This generation of reporters covered two World Series. The Celtics won a championship.
Yeah.
The Bruins won the Cup.
The winning
Every
has a
reporter
big part of
in
it.
This
yes.
town has covered a championship in the last whatever it is.
The winning has a big part of it.
Patriots
yeah.
are the furthest away.
But I think that these young guys don't want to be critical because they want to be friends.
But they're not all young. Sean McAdam and Rob Bradford.
Oh,
they're not young.
Rob Bradford is a new breed guy. Sean McAdam's not. Sean McAdam is a Borges. He'll ask the tough questions if need be. He's not one of those carry water guys.
Who's the oldest? I probably shouldn't ask that. Who's the oldest on the Patriots beat?
Oh, stop.
Besides Borges.
Stop it.
I'm looking down my nose at Paul Perillo.
Come on. Come on.
Is he not? Paul Kenyon.
Well, he's not really on the beat.
Glenn. Yes, he is.
No, PKNY not on the beat.
He's here like
he's
every
here
day.
All the time.
No, I don't think he's the Patriots beat reporter.
Yes.
I thought he was like their
the
golf guy, and I thought
Who
he bounced around.
Yeah, he's here every day.
Speaking of plagiarism.
What?
Isn't that the guy that got killed?
Who?
Paul Kenyon had to take over for the guy who...
Oh, yeah, there was another. Robert Lee. He got fired for plagiarism.
Yeah, speaking of plagiarism, it wasn't like when Eric said, speaking of you-know-what.
To me, when you get fired for something and it's out there, I don't really feel like we have to protect the guy.
That's true.
Yeah, Robert Lee, that was general plagiarism, right?
I bet you want me yelling at you again after all that crap.
Let's go to some emails, shall we? Robin Marlboro says, I was appalled by Sunday's game. It was a failure on all fronts. It's bad enough that because of the secondary, we have to start games with plan B. But when B and C and D fail, it's a loss. Part of what you have here is Bills trading down in the draft, now biting him in the ass. Years of Jags have left us thin all around. Also, I'm just throwing this out there. I love Tom and his abilities, but how many times did you watch Wilson complete a pass way downfield and think, I wish we had that?
Well, wait a minute, though. I bet you if Tom played this secondary, you'd have that.
Right.
If he could lob it up to a guy who was 5 yards behind Tavon Wilson and the rugby player, he'd throw it up there.
I'd like to show
Right? Out. Am I wrong, Paul?
No, you're not wrong.
Well, I mean...
No, you're right. You're right.
The opposing quarterback gets to face the worst secondary in football every week. Tom Brady doesn't get to play that secondary ever.
And I think
one of my friends said that right after the game the other day. You know, we're killing Brady, but if he got to throw against this secondary,
he would,
it would be different.
Can you imagine the precision with which he would absolutely eat them alive? Sure. It wouldn't even be funny.
I'd like a shout out to a few people. Troy Brown, I miss you. You were my first NFL player crush. Kevin Falk, I don't think you're done any more than you do. Pull a Brett Favre. Wes Welker, if I owned the team, I would give you a blank check, really, kind of like the check I gave Andy's mom. All right.
Who's this a-hole?
Robin Marlborough.
I don't even know you, mister.
Well, that's okay. I like it. That's good stuff.
I do, too.
Eric, you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Kind of arranging your notes.
It's weird. He started the media ripping by calling out Field Yates and
last year
bowed out.
This is from last year and so far
this
season.
Yeah, you did kind of start that and then...
What?
Yeah. You started that media thing with the inside questions.
Yeah,
and then you bowed out once it erupted, and that once it really escalated.
Well, it escalated quickly.
Because I always do, and I don't necessarily mean to get this specific guy that I'm talking about out there. He says, you know, some inside questions, and you go, oh, Field Yates.
Plus, we're kind of...
Why do you got to rip a guy?
We're kind of outside of it now. We don't have to have dinner with anyone on a Saturday night anywhere. Could get awkward. Eric could have to fight
your
Field Yates.
Your guys, you're like Felger in the studio. You don't have to come down anymore.
What a battle of flyweights that
would be. You just sit in the studio and criticize everybody.
No, that's not true. I still go in the locker room.
Yeah.
Felger doesn't step on one place where he rips them. Anywhere. That's the difference.
Andy and I have had guys say stuff to
us. All the time.
Sure. Give me a break.
Especially on point-counterpoint stuff.
Yeah.
And I've never once...
Do they understand that that's like theater?
I don't think so.
No, they don't. But I've never also... Not once have I ever had a player say something and I thought I was wrong or unfair. Now, I've been unfair, but no one's called me on it. Right. I'm not saying I've never been unfair.
Remember the time Richard Seymour got all over us about Ray Lewis?
Yeah,
I think every journalist...
I should send him the tape from this week where I gave the Ray Lewis blowjob.
I think every journalist to a person...
Oh, if we can say pussy, we can say blowjob.
I think every journalist to a person...
Hey, young lady,
would
what's your name?
Somebody that was a subject of something he wrote, if they have a problem, to come up with them and talk to them about it.
Right.
I think they want that.
I do, too. And I think if both can do it maturely, it leads to a good relationship.
Right.
Because both can go, you know, head to head and say, well, you know what, you're kind
of
right.
I mean, the objective of a journalist is to be accurate. So if I was inaccurate, let me know.
Now, not just if you see it through a different set of
eyes. No.
You saying it's inaccurate doesn't make it inaccurate.
But
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yemi from Texas, there is no way the Patriots allow a fake punt in this game, right? The Jets have nothing to lose, and I can see them breaking out trick plays involving Tebow.
I can't imagine they fall for a fake punt, no. But
how did the Jets not have anything to lose more than the other three teams in the AFC East?
Well, I think
that's a good point.
Well,
yeah.
Strangely, the dichotomy has been the Bills and Jets were dead, and the Dolphins are woohoo, and the Patriots are we'll be okay. But they're all 3-3.
That's what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
It's so many different things
but the Jets,
that you can look at a 3-3 record.
And I kind of agree with it personally. Because I think the Jets don't have the talent anymore.
Right. Without Revis,
the
I
Bills
think it changes their whole dynamic.
Bent over and gave up 2 weeks in a row. When you do that, you delegitimize your own season.
What's that say about the Cardinals? Oh, never mind.
Oh, shut up with you and your NFC West biases. He's such the East Coast, snob of sports. Nothing on the West Coast could ever be any good.
Yeah, that's why I don't think the teams are good, because they're on the West Coast.
You hate the NFC West.
I think the Niners stink. They're
for
on the West
17
Coast.
Years, you thought they sucked, even though they won the division or whatever the hell their record was.
Sam
playoffs.
In Chicago, ooh, the Cardinal
Niners.
Loss was supposed to be the...
Because they're on the West Coast.
Exactly.
Sam, they play at 4 o'clock.
Sam in Chicago says the Cardinal loss was supposed to be the once-in-a-season trap game that the Patriots fans have come to expect, but the loss to Seattle seems to have the non-bandwagon fans perking up their ears and middle finger more than usual.
Which was the worst loss?
Well, he's saying that the Cardinal loss was supposed to be that once-in-a-season wake-up
call. No, I know, but that's my – which one is worse? Paul thinks both suck.
Arizona was
the Cardinal
worse,
was a worse loss.
Cause
at home.
Because even I'll say, Seattle at Seattle.
Yeah, it's a tough place.
That's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think they're a great team.
You should have won it.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have won both. I mean –
well, no, but I mean
– well, but
you
got,
were a
yeah, – no,
your all-pro
right.
kicker was lining
you're
up
right.
for a makeable field goal and you missed it.
I think they got – yeah, they got what they deserved against Arizona.
You got outplayed against Arizona. You outplayed
and
Seattle.
Then,
in my
right. Yeah, exactly.
I would agree. But right. one – the Arizona game was closer to winnable.
It
I mean,
was,
literally,
but
it's a kick that left my foot. It's a
well, yeah. But yeah, okay. If you want to get down to that last play, but I mean, to me, you had a 13-point lead with 7 minutes left.
Yeah, but in all likelihood, this secondary is going to give up plays. They stink. In all likelihood, your kicker is going to make that kick, right? So if likelihood happens,
if you're going to go with the likelihood of the Seahawks scoring on that last drive versus Gostkowski making a 42-yard field goal,
yeah.
I'm going to go with the field goal.
Right.
I agree with that.
And real quickly, back to your fake punt thing. I don't think they're going to let that happen. I mean,
No. I think they'll stop it. I think that there's
no,
a chance that
I'd like to think that when the game is on the line, they're not going to let a guy get behind him for a touchdown 5 yards behind him. Right? I'd like to think a lot of things.
Having a hard time arguing with Andy today. I don't like it.
Right now, this is still Sam. If you were to look ahead to next year's draft or high-value trade that became available, would you go after a deep threat receiver or a shutdown corner?
Shutdown corner.
Corner.
Million
corner.
Times out of a million.
Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam says, Eric, nice job on Facebook. I don't know what you're doing on Facebook.
What you doing
on Facebook? Uh-oh, uh-oh.
What'd you do on Facebook?
I didn't
do
anything. He doesn't want to talk about.
I didn't do anything.
Did you show your schlong?
No.
So what's he talking about?
What goes on inside that enormous head of yours?
Well, a lot of times in this day and age, when people get in trouble on social media, it involves their schlong.
Fact or opinion? Yeah, but
Fact or opinion?
That's generally athletes, not like regular people.
No. Reporters, politicians.
Yeah, politicians have been known to do that.
I mean, a lot
that,
of people
right?
have crashed
the,
into that.
The appropriately named Anthony Weiner.
Wait a minute.
Yes, because you're schlong.
But I put politicians in the athlete category. They're the performers. They're
public figures
guys.
Is what
yeah.
you
well,
mean.
Well, he's a public figure.
He's a regular guy.
No, he isn't.
Sure he is.
Regular guys have sex.
I didn't mean to laugh. It made me laugh. What do you want me to tell you?
Alex and Falmouth.
Wait a minute. I want to know what he did on Facebook.
I didn't do anything. Somebody with whom I took a photograph posted the photograph on Facebook.
Oh, a girl.
And tagged me in
oh,
it.
A
yes.
girl.
Oh, you got tagged.
You tagged
nice. Saturday,
yeah.
from
you tagged
Saturday
her?
Night?
From Saturday, yeah.
Oh, that blurry
thing.
One?
No.
I couldn't even see the one I saw.
Yeah, someone.
So there's multiple photos of you on the internet bouncing around?
What is this blurry one? You've I don't even
you
know what
girl.
You're talking about.
We went to the pregame social, to our little pregame social.
Alex, quick
I know,
question.
Just,
Eric got tagged. Nice.
The media discussion nice. Reminds me that I've often wondered why Bill and others go on the radio to talk. Does he get paid to do those weekly chats? He doesn't get paid, but it's part of his contract. He has to do it. He doesn't.
Oh, please.
It's no, EEI pays the team.
He gets paid somewhere in the range of $7.5 million
yeah.
dollars or something, reportedly.
That's part of his contract.
That was a good line. He doesn't get paid.
He doesn't get paid specifically to do that. But
I don't get paid specifically to do this either.
EEI pays.
It's not in your contract.
But I have to do it.
But if something is contractually obligated, you get paid for it.
No, I know. But it's not like extra money just to him.
But it's part of the money that the Patriots collect, which then they in turn choose to use some of on Bill Belichick.
Sure.
$7.5 million reported.
Yeah.
Right?
He has to do it, in other words.
Right.
He has to do it.
Yeah,
I'm
betting that all the money that they get from EEI goes to Bill Belichick.
But what if he didn't?
What do you mean if he didn't?
What if he didn't? What if Monday came and he didn't show up? Next Monday came and he didn't show up?
Well, in this particular case, nothing would happen because there's no way EEI would make a stink about it.
That's my point.
Which is back to our original thing.
That's my point.
I'm not sure
I think he could stop doing it and nothing would happen.
Bill's tired. Bill's tired.
They pay for Patriots Monday, and part of that deal is they get Brady and they get Belichick.
Right.
And if you make a stink of it, you'll get none of it. I think the ball is in this court.
It's a legal contract.
Yeah.
They could sue the Patriots.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is they
lawyers.
Wouldn't. This is what I'm saying.
Well, maybe, but...
Do they want to lose Patriots Monday to the growing station
right.
across
if you wanted,
the street?
If the EEI wanted to, they could sue them for breach of contract, but they wouldn't.
We really have just dug up a lot of stuff today on the show.
Yeah. It really spun out of control.
I don't think either side...
The picture just came in.
Oh, of Eric? Keep that up. When we finish the show, we'll come look. Is he schlong hanging out?
The look on Eric's face, you should see it.
Have you seen Eric schlong?
Yes.
Was she hot?
She's very cute. Yeah,
she's really cute. Good job, Eric.
You know what?
What's she got for front court?
Wow,
she's good.
You don't really see much of it, but it's there.
Oh, you saw some.
Where's her other hand?
You felt it.
That other hand.
Better front court.
This is the second photo I've seen this year where a hand is lost somewhere on Eric.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Now, John Rook's not here, so we're actually going to replay this show at 2 o'clock, and then at 4 o'clock, Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne. So we will be back tomorrow to wrap up Jets Week. And you're cutting me off now?
This is like the Emmys. Get off the stage!
All right, see you tomorrow. We'll
drop out from beneath your feet. One of these days, your heart will stop and play. It's final beat. Mm-hmm.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.